Do not adjust your radio dial. You are tuned in to the Mark Order Podcast. Join the Mark Order.
Guys, it's Thursday night, if you know what that means. It's the Mark Order Podcast. Here on, we're on YouTube and all, I didn't mean to just cut out our music. My goodness. We're here live on, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube tonight? YouTube is a new one.
Yeah, it is. Let's rock and roll.
We're here on a Thursday night, everybody, because last night, the Mark Order, except for Ryan, of course, was at AEW Dynamite in Newark, New Jersey. Yeah. You're there, Schlong. Kate's there.
I gotta get used to the mirroring thing.
I know, it's so weird. I keep going, yeah. Over there. There's Schlong. There's
it. Yes, I was the only one not there this week.
Hi. You guys could both point down to me. That's easy. I'll just point up to you. What's up, guys? Up there. Hey. So the Mark Order Podcast, except for Ryan, because, somebody doesn't want to drive an hour and a half each way. Didn't come to the Newark show last night, but I can say that Kate was there, I was there, Mrs. Money was there, there was a doctor who shall not be mentioned anymore who was there, Millionaire Matt was there, and Kate, who else was with you?
We had Kevin from the Monday Night Show, and we had a friend whose name, he went by Bacon, and I was like, that rules. Because that's the best nickname ever. And it turns out his name is just Andrew Bacon. Like, it's not like a nickname that he got. His name is Andrew Bacon. And so we had Kevin Bacon. And I don't know if you know this about me, Aunt. I kind of like puns. And so I made a lot of Kevin Bacon puns. And the drunker Kevin got, the less funny he thought they were. But you know what? Didn't stop me from making them. And then we got back in the car, and on the way back, Matt's wonderful wife called. And she, the first thing she says is like, Kevin Bacon. And I was like, she gets me. It was fantastic. So that was so much fun.
Well, you know what stunk is we didn't actually get to like meet up, and our ride basically was a little later than we expected. We ran into some traffic, but it's okay because we're going to be at Arthur Ashe next week. All together. Yeah, we are. All of us.
All together.
Even Schlong.
Even damn straight. We should make note of the fact that this is the third time this was scheduled. So that's part of the reason we weren't sitting together. We didn't know like 18 months ago that we were even going to be doing this podcast, I don't think, much less like all sitting together as a group. So that was super fun. But we've got some people in the chat. Hi, Mutt Spock saying how we get so lucky to have these beautiful humans on screen while working.
I wonder who's watching.
I don't know, man. You're just a lucky son of a gun. I gotta say, so we're back on the StreamYard, which is great. We're on YouTube, we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, and I set up the broadcast today, and I got a little confused about something, and I found this video. Ryan, did you think we were going live yesterday?
Yeah, I wasn't told differently.
Yeah, because I saw this in the recording. It's kind of alarming, and I don't know. I feel like people should maybe see it.
It's fantastic. Hello, Barbie. Let's go, Barbie. Yeah. Hello, Barbie. Let's go, Barbie. Ooh, ooh. I'm a Barbie girl in a Barbie world. Wrapped in plastic. It's fantastic. You can touch my hair. Trust me anywhere.
So, are we going to talk? Oh, there's more. Sorry. I had no idea this was planned, so I'm just going along with it.
Call me unprofessional, Ann. Oh, you missed your first show. Where are you tonight, bud? Where are you tonight? Oh, it's supposed to be your big live time after Newark. Gonna tell us all how it went. Oh, fuck. And Matt, probably off trying to get some goddamn Cody Rhodes chase figure that he already has six times over. Or doing the Wizard show because they get interviews. Fucking guys. I'm a Barbie girl in a Barbie world. The fuck is Kate? She's not even... Answer your phone, Kate. I get it. You're Fightful now. Oh, I'm part of Calyx. I dress up. I don't even give the Mark Order any of my time because I'm so special. I have a team named after me. People love me. They pay to write me comments. Oh, fuck you.
Like, I'm kind of glad that that footage was there. I didn't think there was that much resentment. But Ryan, first of all, I had no idea that you were a Barbie girl at all. Like, that was brand new information. And I didn't realize that you were so bitter and so upset. Do you need to share anything with the class now that we're all here live? Or do you just want to...
First of all, that's a great song. So I don't care what anyone says. Second of all, so how was Newark, guys?
Okay, well, you're trying to skate right by that. I will say that the lovely Mrs. Money did say that she could watch that for hours. So you've got some karaoke in the house. Mott Spock also just thrown in the Barbie girl. Everybody's loving. See? People like it when you sing, you guys. See? There's the salt. No. See? People like it when you sing. Barbie girl. LFO, but
so Newark was good. Newark was good.
Oh, you're just gonna no sell this. You got caught, and now you're gonna no sell it. Fine, we can talk about Newark. You know what? If that's what makes you feel good, we'll talk about the AEW Dynamite live experience. This was one of the coolest live shows I've ever been to. Like the energy in the crowd was just absolutely insane. And you had better seats than us, so I'm gonna let you kick off the conversation.
I mean, honestly, Kate, I think you guys were like right above us. Like, I didn't look at the map, and I didn't really try to find you because, and I'll kind of explain it. There's no breaks, so like, I think you were right above us. So I think our vantage point was fairly the same. So I think we both had pretty good seats, but I will say that this might be one of the best live shows I've been to in a long time. You know, that's TV, pay-per-view, house, whatever. I mean, listen, we have fun when we go to those Ring of Honor shows, right? Like when we went to Baltimore, those shows are a ton of fun and the wrestling's really good, but this is a whole different animal. Like this was a packed arena. Schlong, it was... I don't know if it was sold out, but it was as close to being sold out as you could get. And it actually just hit me as we were sitting there, Kate. I turned to everybody I was with and I was like, fuck, we should have gotten a box. Like, how much fun would a box have been? But Ryan, it was legitimately, hang on, I got to do a little bit of math. It was roughly 6 hours of a show. 6 hours of wrestling.
Kate, we did leave at quarter of midnight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't wrong for saying this would have been a lot.
Oh, Mrs. Money's saying she read it was sold out. Yeah. Well, and that's good. I didn't really keep up to where it was selling, but I knew it was close. I knew it was very close. But Kate, I felt like we got our money's worth plus. Like I was not expecting that much.
Yeah, I think for me, the coolest part was, you know, you're going to see what you're going to see, right? But I got like really emotional about the fact that I saw Sting for the first time in my life because I started watching in 2009. So like, I'd never seen Sting live. We got Suzuki, Daniel Bryan, CM Punk. Like it was, to realize that you're seeing all that live was just really, really special. And the crowd, like I had heard other people say, the same conversation seems to happen every time there's a live event. The people there say, I hope it's as loud on TV as it was here. And most people are like, yeah, it was pretty loud. But I will say it sounds so much louder in person. And because you are there for a really long time, it is nice to have that momentum in the crowd, because there were parts of Rampage where like people had left or whatever. Or there were just like dips. But for Dynamite, the whole thing was absolutely fire. And what they set up for next week is even absolutely like more insane, which we will absolutely get to. But Agent Joe chiming in here saying, you guys putting over last night's show makes me really look forward to hear your reaction after next week's. I think I might just implode. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. Like, this was kind of a more average Dynamite, and being there live still felt so, so special. It was really, really cool. And we got to see like talent that we recognized from the local area, which was cool. LSG, Mike Verna, which is awesome, because on Dark Elevation, which Ryan watches every week for you wonderful people out there, it's cool to see names that you know from the area on television. So it was really cool from front to back. Matt and I went to Red's Beer Garden across the street. We got to meet up with John Alba, who's a friend of ours now, which is great. And grab a beer. They were playing all of the AW Dynamite themes. Like, you heard Tarzan Boy and Cult of Personality and stuff, and the place was going nuts even in there. So the whole energy from the whole day was really cool. And Matt had to talk to a weirdo. It was great. I should
Her name was Kate. Oh, sorry.
No, like, that's an assumed weirdo he's going to have to talk to the whole night. Like, that's not somebody new that's weird. Like, this was a new outstanding weirdo. Like, it's not really noteworthy that he talks to this weirdo. So, but yeah, it was great.
Yeah. And to anybody who might not know, or, you know, isn't looking up spoilers, they taped Dark Elevation for next week. Then we had, so that was in an hour. And then they did the live Dynamite, which is 2 hours. And then they did Rampage, which was an hour. And that was this week's Rampage. And as Kate said, through the night, they were telling us about the card next week. We will certainly talk about that, because it's absolutely crazy what they're lining up next week. But Mott Spock is asking, did we get Justin Roberts' anecdotes between the matches? Dude was hilarious a few weeks ago. Yes, he did. Give a few anecdotes. I think he did a, like, you know, a 1920s or 30s, like, boxing ring announcer, right? Kate at one point, he, like, turned the mic over and was like, now for your main event.
And this corner, he was unreal at the Jericho Cruise, too. Sorry to cut you off. Like, the whole crowd was just doing his part of stuff. Like, instead of chanting one fall, they did the entire, the following match is scheduled, and he just like played into it. So he's not my favorite ring announcer of all time, but he's very, very good at that piece of it, of keeping the crowd involved and keeping them entertained between matches. Like, he was a big part of keeping the momentum going, I feel like.
So I got a question.
Yeah, real quick, Ryan. The cool thing too was he was reading signs. Like, people were holding their signs up and he was like pointing them out and like reading their signs, and somebody had like a happy birthday sign and he was like, everybody say happy birthday, you know, like, so he was like looking for people's signs. So like, if you're going to these shows and you carry signs, like, and you're an eye shot, he's looking, like, and they're calling people out for like what they have on their signs. And there was a really good sign, I hope makes it to Elevation, but I don't want to ruin anything. So, yeah, Ryan, go ahead. Question.
So I have a bunch, but the question the reason I interrupted there is because it is about Justin Roberts. So Kate says he's not her favorite at the actual ring announcer job, but he's great at the in-between stuff. From AEW's perspective, do you think that's a nice balance out? Like, yeah, you may, because he's not an awful ring announcer. He's just not people's favorite. But to be that good when they know they're going to be taping these long-ass shows, do you think that's a good balance? Like, you're okay at this and you were really good at this.
I think so. He's over in the same way that like Aubrey is over, I feel like, where they're accessories to wrestlers, but the fans really help them out. And like you said, he's not a terrible ring announcer. I just like the John Moxley stuff like gets under my skin a little bit, and like him rolling his R's during the Santana and Ortiz thing for like 100 years, like just little things like that. He's not egregiously bad at this, but I do think the role of ring announcer for Justin Roberts means more than just announcing the people that are going to be in the ring. Like, he's definitely also an ambassador to AEW, I think.
Question number two. And I got a bunch, but these are the ones I've always said about production. What are the break, like, so you have Elevation, Dynamite, Rampage. Are there literally any breaks in between?
Very short.
There was, yeah, there was maybe 10 minutes between Dark Elevation and the live show. That's pushing it. 10 is maybe the maximum. So, like, if you didn't really run to take a leak or, like, get a drink or something. First of all, I had one big issue with last night, and it was like, Kate, I said it to everybody I was with. I was like, did they not expect anybody was showing up tonight? Because it seemed like every time if you went to get a drink or try to look for food, everything took way too long. I don't know if it was understaffed, if they were having problems with their registers or what. It was just, it took forever. So, like, unfortunately, if you left in the middle to get a drink or something, you probably missed a match or a whole segment. Like, it was long. But
they were having issues with the credit card reader.
Okay. So you had maybe 10 minutes between, at most, Dynamite and Elevation and Dynamite. And then you had it was a little bit longer. I didn't keep track of the actual time, but it was a little bit longer between Dynamite and Rampage. But once the shows were going, like, there was really no time to run. Like, yeah, when they took a commercial, like, you could run out, but the commercials when you're there are not as long as they seem like when you're sitting at home. Like, they were really fast. And then, you know, the stuff that they're putting on was like, I was kind of like upset. I had to get up. Like, I had to go to the bathroom and I needed a drink. And I got up right as Dante Martin was coming out. And it's funny, I said to Mrs. Money and everybody I was in the car with headed there, I said, I hope we get to see Dante Martin tonight because he looks nuts to see live. And of course, I'm like, I'll be right back. Like, there was a thing right behind where we were sitting for drinks. I was like, I'll be right back. I'm going to use a bathroom. We were literally, our seats were perfect. Bathroom, when you walked up, we were two rows from the top. If you turned left, the bathroom was right there. If you turned right, there were concessions. And I missed the entire Seidel Dante Martin match. I missed that entire match just trying to get a drink. So I have to go back and watch it.
That's the match that I missed too. So I initially went to get food because at Red's, if you get a large beer there, it's about 6 beers in one stein, which I did not know. but so you go and you get food, and I was in line in the beginning. The line wasn't moving. And I was like, I'm not missing Cult of Personality. That is not an option for me. And I knew Punk was coming out on commentary. So I ran back, and then I went during the same match that you did. It took not only that whole match, but Aleister Black's music hit. And I was like, if I miss Malachi Black's entrance, terrible. I was like, I'm going to be really annoyed. And there was a guy, God bless him, who was in line with me that was like, I'll hold your spot. There's no point in both of us missing this. And we were both like near the front of the line. So he just held the spot for me, and I got to go over to the curtain. And the one thing that they did do was the curtains were all the way open, so you could at least see in, but I got to go to like the top and see it. And it's one of the coolest things that you can see live. It looks so great on TV. What it does in the arena, it just confirms that you're like, this is the most badass dude in the whole world. But that was annoying. And then, Ant, I don't know if you had this, but from where we were sitting, you couldn't hear anything. And I don't mean because of the crowd reaction, which didn't help, but like, we couldn't hear promos all night at all. Like, MJF's was drowned out because of the noise. He, I feel like, had as much heat as CM Punk had cheers, which is awesome. But like, I don't know if it was where we were because of the way the speakers were facing, but nothing came across. It was way too low. And I've been in that arena for concerts and WWE events, so I don't know what the deal was, but we couldn't hear anything as far as promos went and like video packages.
No, I actually felt like we could hear when the crowd allowed you to hear. I honestly feel like the crowd was so lit up all night. Like, honestly, I barely heard anything MJF said, and Kate can back it up. It was fucking loud.
Deafening.
It was, dude, my ears were ringing this morning. It was so loud, and it wasn't because of the mics. It was seriously the crowd.
Yeah,
the crowd
I don't think I'll go into it. I won't complain about MJF yelling anymore because I genuinely don't think like. Well, he was still doing that when there was no or limited crowd, though. So maybe I'll still harp on it. But I was like, oh, there's no way that guy can hear himself talk. There's absolutely no way. But yeah, there. Mike Peterson saying, listening to you guys talk about Newark makes me look really forward to Boston. Buddy, Boston is a fun wrestling town. You're going to have a great, great time. Oh, go ahead, Ant.
No, I was just going to say, so I don't think it was, you know, I just was thinking about it this morning, and it might have been where you were, Kate, but like I said, we heard things pretty good when the crowd was, you know, a dull roar. Like, we heard what Jericho was saying. Dan Lambert, it was so loud, he was getting drowned out because people just hated that. So it's working. If they want like nuclear heat, he's getting it. MJF was so loud. So like the moments like when Jericho was speaking, we heard what Jericho was saying. It was very loud. And I wonder if they tried to push the mics above the crowd, if it might have started to feed back, because it was loud. Like, I don't know how to explain it. It was as loud as any concert I've been to. And it was just fans yelling.
It really was. And all I could think about was like, if it's this loud and Dynamite, A, Arthur Ashe is going to be insane, but probably a little bit, it's at least outdoors, so I'll be a little bit more chill. But I was like, I cannot imagine what the CM Punk pop was, because it sounded louder than it did on the TV here. But I knew people who were at both and said that it was like, there were parts of last night that were very, very loud, like kind of on par with that. We've got Joey Bott asking if we're all going to the Queen show too. Hell yeah, we are. Matt Reichel going to Long Island in December. Guess what? We're going to be there too, it turns out.
We'll be
Greetings, Mark Order peeps. New fan. Found you guys through Kate on Fightful. Thanks so much, Carlos. Nice to see
Carlos,
you joining.
Don't feed her ego. Don't feed her ego.
What? Kate,
you know she's going to show those
even
comments.
On tonight.
I'm going to pull up a comment real quick because I think this one's very important for us.
This Read has happened it. Twice. Huh?
I was going to. I was waiting to see if there's a movie. P.S. Gina, Mrs. Money said, P.S. a movie called Rampage is on TNT right now, and I got confused. And as funny as I think it is, it's also, honest to God, like a real thing. Like, they have a show Rampage, and now there's a movie Rampage. There is a little that is going to confuse people.
They played the movie Rampage on TBS the week of the first ever Rampage, or maybe it was the Punk debut or something, but they ran them both on Turner Broadcasting at the same time, and I got real confused in my channel guide, and I was not the only person that was. So
yeah, that's why I mean I had to show, because I do legitimately think like that has to, I know it sounds stupid, they have to consider that. You do have maybe put like Rampage with the year or something behind it, so someone, oh, this looks different, you know, 2019 or whatever, you'll be like, oh, that doesn't work. All right, so back to my questions, because I won't have been to a live show till Arthur Ashe, and I don't even know if that's going to count in terms of the same experience, because most of their shows will be indoors where there's, with less people.
This is a pay-per-view, basically. Yeah. Like, this is insane.
One of my biggest complaints, for lack of a better word, is I don't always think they get the entrance music loud enough on TV. Like, you don't hear it real well when it comes to the TV. How did it sound in arena?
I actually thought it was pretty good. There were just songs like, I'm trying to think of a good example, like Orange Cassidy sounded really loud. Destination Unknown was over huge. I'm trying to think, there were some that just sounded like anything that was softer leaning sounded too quiet. That's what I would say. Like, and that would happen with Bray Wyatt's music all the time in WWE, because it was like, it just started with a bass line and you wouldn't even hear it kick in. So anything that had softer sound to start, I felt like felt too quiet until it picked up. But other than that, it wasn't. I know what your complaint is, because I have the same complaint about it on TV too. But in an arena, I thought it was much better.
Yeah, I didn't think it was terrible. Yeah, I didn't think it was terrible. I think that like MJF's music is naturally low, and as soon as anybody picked up on who was coming out, they were so loud, like you weren't going to hear his music. But like other things too, like people were like, the sing-alongs happened at Cult of Personality, Ruby Soho, Judas. And then even, you know, during like Adam Cole's entrance, people were doing the boom. And then, you know, obviously Adam Cole, baby, it was so loud. You know, I didn't think it sounded terrible. Everybody was just, I can't explain it. Like, everybody was so into everything. I've never been at a live show where legitimately everybody was into everything they put in front of us. At any time, even the Elevation stuff, the Rampage stuff, when it's now 11:30 at night, like people are into it. And it's crazy because I've been to, you know, WWE shows where it's like people are into one thing and not the other, or, you know, even like Ring of Honor. Some people are into all of it. Some people are into like one thing here and there. Like, you know, it's just how it is. But Kate, did you feel the same way? It seemed like everybody was into everything, whether you loved it or whether you loved the person or hated the person, there was a reaction to everything.
I agree with that for the most part. The only time that things felt fatigued was a little bit on Rampage. There were like a couple of dips, but nothing that I felt like really sucked the energy out of the room, because that was a pretty strong show too. But everybody that I knew before this experience, I should have asked Matt, but said that the closest thing that they've experienced was ECW. Like, this is the closest thing that's happened to that. I feel like at WWE events, you're led a lot more to do stuff as a crowd. And it's probably because they mostly have played huge arenas. Like, I feel like the production guides you a little bit more, where this felt really organic. I felt like the commercial breaks were not even really a thing. Because I think they were doing stuff when the cameras were off still to entertain you, that still made sense with what just happened or what was going to happen next. So I don't know how much of that was in picture in picture or whatever, but like everything seemed to, as fast of an experience as it seems like watching at home, even though this was like 6 hours, it still felt very quick until some parts of Rampage that had like ebbs and flows a little bit, but everything was pretty much fire.
Kid, I do have to tell you, and I don't want to spoil anything. People can go out there and read the spoilers, but Kate, you'll understand this. The last match on Rampage, as the entrances finished, there was almost a fight behind us. Like, and you know who was in that main event? There was almost a fight over one person loving that guy and one person hating that guy.
And it was not Matt, and it was not Marco Stunt. We'll say that much.
No, I think I figured out who it is already.
I'll smarten you up later, Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even need to spoil it. I think I got it.
Oh, Chevy 99 to 99 to 99 to 99, baby. Were you there? It seems like it was. That was incredibly loud. It was so smart to open with that match, I thought. Kazarian looked amazing. Adam Cole doing a really good job of doing like the Shawn Michaels tease on the super kicks. Was really, really smart to make sure he was healing. But that baby was very, very, very loud.
Okay, so you both are sports fans. So this is, for most of us haven't seen AEW live and actually haven't even really seen WWE live. So I'm going to ask this question because I think at least most people have seen some sporting event in their life. You're both sports fans. You've both been to games when the team is red hot and good and when the team is just average. Do you think that's the difference in the experience right now, and that you have a red hot AEW, so fans are like everything is going their way, and WWE overall has been average? Or do you think it's just something completely unique? I can't make a comparison type situation.
I get what you're saying, like the momentum thing. I'll just say that I think AEW did a very, very, very good job at creating clear stories that got people organically booed and over. Like, I think it's just the way that they tell stories, and I think it's a crowd that seems very smart, but not in a way that they're going to get in their own way. They're not going to, like, outsmart themselves. They love MJF. They're still going to boo MJF. You know what I mean? So I think it's just, this is the reward for everything that they put in during the pandemic of the people that they wanted to be over are over. The people that they want to be heels are heels. And it just goes back to their storytelling. And because they lean into longer term storytelling, you've built up that goodwill a little bit longer because so many of these feuds have been going on for a long time, or they at least reference them. So I feel like the fans feel like they have input, and that's why this crowd is so hot. The only thing that I can remember being full on louder was when I went to the ALDSCS and World Series in 2001 at Yankee Stadium. And I guess WrestleMania 36, but that was probably an hour or two longer and felt like way, way longer than this did. Way, way longer than this did. But yeah, I think they're just reaping the rewards of everything that they did during COVID.
But I also think that, like, how many times did we hear at some point or another that the WWE is listening to their fans, right? We're listening to the WWE universe. And then they ultimately never do. Right? Like, they don't give us what we want, right? And people eventually get tired of that. And I think that AEW has been very smart to give the fans what they want eventually at the right times, right? So, like, you know, the fans want Adam Page to take that belt off Kenny Omega. And by God, I think that's going to happen. But yeah, they'll give it to us when they want to. You know, people had been talking about wanting to see, you know, some of these free agents wind up in AEW. They go out there and sign some of those guys, right? Like, I just think they're very smart about keeping their finger on the pulse of what the fans want too, which is why this atmosphere feels so electric, because, you know that they're out there and they're listening to their fans and they're thanking their fans and it feels genuine. And sometimes at other places they're like, yeah, we listen to our fans. Like, thanks for coming. And it's like, are you really? Like, this is the exact opposite of what I think most fans want. So,
and to Joe's point, I was actually just about to piggyback off of this, but he said it really well, so I'll let him say it. I think the fan bases are different in AEW and WWE, from demographic to being smart about things versus being told things. I was just going to also mention that WWE is so catered toward children that they're just literally not as loud because they have, like, higher pitched little kid voices, and they're not going to have the attention span, right? Not as loud, but you know what I mean? Like, you're not going to get the thunderous male sounding thing. But you're just not going to keep their attention span for an entire show. So it's like, if you're catering to kids at a live event, it's not going to have the same sustainability through an entire show. Like Ant was saying, like, there was just not a moment where the crowd felt out of this, and that included the Dan Lambert segment.
Fair enough.
Yeah, everything. Sorry, Shalom. I was just going to say everything elicited a reaction, good or bad. Yeah. Everything garnered a reaction, and that's something I have rarely seen. Whether I was at some great sporting event for, you know, a hockey team, a baseball team, a football team, another wrestling promotion, I don't think I've ever been to another event where every single thing that came up in front of you, where they would have said, we hope this gets a reaction, got a legitimate reaction, not something that you could feel fans were being force-fed to or forced to react to. It was a natural reaction.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I had to ask because, again, I won't know until next week, but I'm assuming a lot of people out there are trying to figure out, even you guys still seem to be trying to figure out what the difference is in the reactions they're getting. Because as good as they are, it still seems almost obscene, the amount of, like, cheers they get or boos they get. Well, though I will say, yeah, to Kate's point, and I'll stop, is you acknowledge that they they give, I think Ant said too, they give us, no, Ant might have been the one making this point where they give us what we want. We want Hangman, we'll eventually get it. It actually was shown perfectly on tonight's, last night's episode with the Suzuki incident, which was trending on Twitter, and then they made it part of the show. So I guess so, that does get you a lot of goodwill with fans when it's like fans can organically come up with something, and instead of saying stay away from this, as WWE often does, AEW does the opposite, and so long as it's something they're able to lean into, they lean into it. I guess that garners you a lot of goodwill.
Yeah, I'll just add that, like,
too.
And like, we were deprived.
The talent doesn't shy away. Oh, I'm sorry, Keith. Go ahead.
No, sorry. We're talking over you. Like, I think we were deprived of seeing these live shows for so long, too. Like, this is the third time this was scheduled. So I think, like, having spent 18 months or whatever not being able to go to these shows also played a role. Like, we finally get to go. So everybody's all the more excited because they're finally getting to go to, like, their first AEW events overall for the most part. It's pretty cool.
And Kate said it twice, and we have to reiterate this. We bought tickets to this, Kate, separately, but we bought tickets to this in, I believe we checked, December of 2019. And I remember that when, before everything went into lockdown, before anything kind of COVID related, we had planned, Mrs. Money and I and Baby A, we planned a trip to Disney World in Florida, and that was over Super Bowl weekend. So the 2019-2020 season. So that was end of January into February of 2020. So it was literally right before COVID kind of shut everything down. And we were at the airport, and I had a throwback Macho Man chalkline windbreaker that I had down in Florida, and I wore it to the airport, and somebody at the security check through was like, "Hey, nice jacket." And I looked at him and he had an AEW hat. And I said, "Oh, thanks." I said, "I'm really into your, I like your hat. I'm into that promotion." And the guy was like, "Oh, that's awesome. Like, we're, you know, I work for the company. I do like the ring setup and stuff like that. I didn't get a name. I don't know who it is, but you know," I was like, "Oh, that's awesome. Like, we're going to see them in whatever it was, March or April at the time in Newark." And the guy like turned to whoever he was with, and he was like, "He's going to be in Newark." And he turned back to me and goes, "Wait till you see what they got planned. They're going to shit in Connecticut." And we didn't know it was supposed to be blood and guts. So like, that's how long ago this was. And it was supposed to then be, I think, what, Kate, something like July or even fall of 2020.
Yeah, that sounds right. I think it was July.
They pushed it to like mid 2020, and then they kind of like postponed it indefinitely. And it was, you know, last night, which is obviously September of 2021. So a couple people had a sign, and Justin Roberts was reading the signs. There were people who were saying like, "I've waited 583 days for this to happen." Like, it was a long time, and you could tell that this crowd had been waiting for ever to see this show. And yeah, it would have been really cool to see blood and guts, but somebody made a good point. I think it was in the comments, and I didn't see it who it was, but somebody made a point. If we had gotten blood and guts, which would have been awesome, I would have been very happy seeing blood and guts. But we would not have gotten Sting. We would not have gotten Adam Cole. We wouldn't have gotten CM Punk, Bryan Danielson. We wouldn't have gotten Ruby Soho. We wouldn't have gotten half of what we got, you know, last night. So it's just, it's incredible. They kept saying like, "We're going to, you know, give you something special." And Kate, the other thing too is, I don't know if this happened anywhere else. Matt Spock, you might have to speak up in the comments, but Kate, TK showed himself twice to the live crowd last night. He came out and spoke to the live crowd. You know, and thanked
he's been
everybody
doing that kind of
lined
a little
bit. A few things up. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it's everywhere, but he's been doing that sometimes. Like, he did that between Dark and the start of the show because they did a fun thing with Bowens, whose hometown we were in, or home state at least. And he showed up at the they actually set it up to, he was going to come back and address what was going on at the beginning of Rampage. So it was cool. TK bookended Dynamite, which was great.
Yes. So it was, Ryan, any more questions?
One, and it's kind of goes into Dynamite, but it's the live experience. Kate, did you cry?
No, I almost did, and not at the things you would have thought. It was, I got very emotional seeing Sting, and because I was completely blindsided by the fact that I was like, oh my God, like I'm a new age wrestling fan, a fan that started watching in 09, am seeing Sting, and I didn't go in his brief stint in WWE because it was very short. I don't even think it was around, whatever. But like that to me, I got very hashtag shoot emotional at the fact that like I got to see CM Punk, they set up Daniel Bryan, Sin and Omega, Minoru Suzuki, Sting, and like Mike Verna and LSG on the same night. Like, it's just so cool. Of like people and Bowens and Proud and Powerful, who are like friends of the Wizards, you know what I mean? So it was like, what an insane blend of literal icons, the icon Sting, but like actual icons and legends in this industry from all over the world, from WWE, from Japan, mixed with like people that we've like actually met before. Like I was laughing because I was like, Bowens was at the Wizards 8th anniversary show, LSG was. I was like going through all the people like that I met through them or whatever. Which was just, it's such a special thing that they give you so many different ways to make you excited as a fan. Like that's when it really hit me, was I was like, I'm seeing Eddie Kingston, who was my favorite until Punk came back, and Minoru Suzuki in the same ring. Like, it's just insane. Tony Khan's just a maniac. He's like, I'm just going to give everyone everything all the time.
And Motzbach did reply that TK came out to Laverne and Shirley in Milwaukee to the theme to Laverne and Shirley and signed off with "I Love Wisconsin," which is just so cool. But yeah, I can't now Schlong. I wasn't with Kate, so I can't comment on her getting emotional, but. Kate, I also I didn't get emotional, but it definitely did. Like, I started to think back, like, did I ever, because I never saw WCW back in the day when they were still around. I think that was the first time I ever saw Sting live in any kind of event, which is so cool to think. We're in 2021 and Sting was there, you know. Yeah. I think the doctor said something. I don't remember what he said. He was like, the last time, I remember it was the last time we saw, I think, oh no, that wasn't true. Cause we saw Adam Cole at an NXT event, but we saw Adam Cole's last Ring of Honor show. And we got to see his first AEW show. Like the whole group I was with, Mrs. Money, our buddy Jay, and then the doctor, we were all at his final Ring of Honor show. And we were at his first, AEW show, which was kind of cool. So it was definitely a fun night, a really special night. Next week, I believe will no doubt top what we saw in Newark, but I mean, what do you expect? We will talk about the card for, Grand Slam, a little bit later. We'll talk about the card for the 2-hour Rampage, next week, a little bit later. And I guess I just want to close this conversation by saying, and Kate, you can definitely give your take. People should certainly check out Elevation on Monday. I thought that there were some really fantastic matches. I mean, I put it on I put a picture. I didn't spoil anything, but we do get and it was promoted on Dark or Elevation this week. We get Joey Janela and Sonny Kiss.
So good.
What an amazing match. Mrs. Money lost her mind when Sonny Kiss came out. She loves Sonny Kiss so much. His ring gear was fantastic. A total, you know, home state thing to do. And Joey came out, even though he's the heel, you know, fans were very into seeing him. Yeah, check out Elevation. And I would certainly say check out Rampage this week.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's really special when you see the bonus content or whatever come to your town. That Sonny Kiss Janela match was like one of the hottest crowd reactions of the night, I think, which was so cool to see. Kevin Schnur also saying, I never saw WCW live either. Even seeing Tony Schiavone live is so cool. I've completely forgot about that. That was such a cool moment too. But yeah, I couldn't agree more from front to back. It just was like such a fun and special experience, and everything had its own flavor. Definitely check it out. Like, it's just a fun thing to attend if you're a wrestling fan.
I have to also say this. Old man Tony's asking, where the fuck is Vacation Matt? Because I guess he had off yesterday. He's working tonight. So that's why
he's a millionaire, though. So, like, he doesn't need to show up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, but if he needs to earn a little pocket change, then he'll go work. You know what I mean? Like, he does what he wants.
Stay a millionaire.
That's it. And also, I'm with you, Kate. Like, Schnur brought up seeing Schiavone so cool. The reactions that Schiavone got from the live crowd, just awesome. Like, and again, yeah. I brought it up a couple weeks ago. Like, the guy was working in, a Starbucks out of wrestling, like, completely, you know, and then gets a podcast and now is all the way back into wrestling on a weekly, twice a week basis. Like, what a cool story. I am one of the biggest, like, regrets was after Anthony was born, after baby A was born, I was like giving him a bath or something and I didn't have my phone on me. Like, I didn't even think about it. And I had ordered a shirt when they were doing what happened when, and he was doing phone calls. I missed his phone call. And all I wanted to do was talk to Schiavone about baseball. I didn't even want to talk wrestling. Yeah. I just want to talk to him about the Braves. I definitely popped getting to see Schiavone in the flesh, and he had some really great in-ring segments. So what a great night. It was a really fun night. Everybody I was with had a great time. You know, Kate, sounded like everybody you were with had a great time, and we're all going to be together next week to have another great time.
That's so true. It was honestly so much fun to see. I've never seen Kevin mark out so much. Kevin was full mark out. We all were. But, like, Kevin and I had only been to a couple shows, and none of them were anything that were, like, nearly as compelling as this. We went to, like, a throwaway SmackDown at one point or whatever, and it was fun, and we had fun. But this was just, like, you know, you see guys that have been on the show, too, I'm sure, like, Powerful coming out. They've been to Tony's house a bunch of times. Like, so it was just really fun to be so into it and have everyone around you be so into it, too, including our dear Kevin. So that was really, really fun.
Well, it was fun. We're going to recap that whole show. And before we, I think we take a break, I do want to just cover off because we try to kind of catch everybody up on everything. Last week's Rampage actually wound up being pretty big for a couple storyline reasons. So we can run through it super quick. We don't have to go in deep. We had Andrade versus Pac, and Pac actually came out with the win, but there were some shenanigans there, and I want to touch on that. So we'll definitely talk about that. We also got, sorry, I lost my page. We got Britt Baker, Jamie Hayter, and Rebel versus Ruby Soho, Riho, and Chris Statlander. That match came out just the way everybody thought it would. Ruby, Riho, and Chris Statlander defeated the heels. And then in our main event, we got Max Caster versus Brian Pillman Jr. And Brian Pillman Jr. defeated Max Caster. But guys, the big news on Rampage last week was that Pac-Andrade match. And Pac got the win, but it was because of shenanigans with who, Schlong?
Oh, Chavo.
Bum, bum, bum.
That is right. Well done. It was because of Chavito. There was some shenanigans. He stepped in and he hit Pac with an iPad to allow Andrade to get the pin. And then post-match, after Andrade kind of saw what was going on, I think Jose kind of told him, hey, Chavo got involved. Andrade turns on Chavo. So it looks like Chavo's already out of the picture. Guys, what do you think about that kind of turn of events? Ryan, let's get your take first because you are such a Chavo fan.
I am actually legitimately a Chavo fan. I loved his WCW Pepe storyline. That's a deep cut if anybody remembers his WCW run. But I liked it. They don't do that kind of finish a lot. I know I was listening to some shitty post show on Friday at like 11 o'clock with some terrible female co-host and Sean Ross Sapp. And
thanks for the super chat, money sucker.
I will pay just to trash you on air.
I know.
They didn't like it as much, but I don't mind because they don't do that a lot. And I will always say, I think getting smacked with an iPad would actually hurt a lot. If this leads to something very interesting for Andrade, which I think it is, which is, I don't know if it necessarily call it like a face turn, but a really interesting wrinkle to his character of like, he's still kind of an asshole, but he will beat you under his terms. I kind of like that. So I'm very interested in where they're going with him. I actually, and not just like, oh, let's see if they can fix this. I'm interested in the way they designed it and where they're going with it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun for his character. And the match was fucking fantastic. That match was better than anything I've seen him do in a long time. And if anyone was wondering if he still had it, that match shows he can really go.
The match was great. The ending sucked. I hated the finish, but I loved the match. I loved the match. And I was just glad to see Andrade doing something. We got to stop with the manager shuffle. I don't know if they're trying to make way for Ric Flair here or what, but I thought the match was fantastic. I thought the ending sucked, and no spoilers, but I didn't love the ending of the opener to this week's Rampage either. So hopefully that's not a trope where it's like, I like when we have a hot tag team open up a hot tag team match open up Dynamite. I hope it's not like a funny finish is going to open up Rampage, because I hate it. Agent Joe wants Ryan to have a Pepe for his future episodes. I kind of agree.
I can find a Pepe.
You could. I'm with you.
I honestly don't remember, and I'll have to watch Friday night. There was, I don't remember there being a weird finish to the opener of Rampage. I'll have to go
not
back.
Not as schmazzy, just some logical things that I'll text you about off air, because we're like so inside.
I just don't want to listen. I hate spoiling stuff for people, and the spoilers are out there. Like, people can go find it, and we're going to talk about it next week anyway at some point. So that's fine. But back to the ending of Pac Andrade. I'm with Ryan. I didn't hate it, because they don't really do it, and it will make sense if there's anything that I've kind of learned, because even with all the Hangman stuff, when that first started, I was like, I don't want this to happen. Like, you know, what the fuck are they doing? And now it's turned into a great story. So I have a feeling that this is all going to make sense at some point. Chavo will reemerge somewhere down the line, and this will all come to bite Andrade, but I didn't have a problem.
Thanks, Greg. I love you too, pal. Best
friend. I just want to make this comment known that from Greg Aarons, Kate loves getting tag teamed.
Thank you. It's
very important for everyone,
Greg,
to understand.
For watching and for tuning in and being my friend for like 15 years and saying things like that when there's so many internet weirdos that I'm dealing with. But I appreciate you watching. I don't appreciate that comment. Yeah, fuck you too, buddy. I see you. I see you, Greg Aarons. They call you that guy for a reason.
Hey,
your kids are real cute in that picture. So
take it easy. Take it easy on that guy. That guy commands your respect. Take it easy on that
guy.
Damn straight. Oh, he does.
That guy.
Here's why I didn't like that ending. I don't like Schmaz endings in general. I also felt like both of them needed a clean win. So, or like a clean ending. I don't think having that at the end was helpful. Like, just have a great match like they had, have a winner, have a loser, let it go. It's fine. Stop. No, we're not putting Greg over. All right. No. Oh,
Greg's over.
Love you too, pal.
Let me ask you a question here, Kate. Honest question. Now that we've established what you prefer. So you say both of them needed a clean win. So a clean loss would have hurt Andrade then. If he needs a clean win, then a clean loss really hurts him. Whereas a dirty win does not hurt Pac.
I don't know, because that, I feel like a, it's so weird because this is such a dorky wrestling thing, but like a clean loss, like sometimes wrestlers just lose to other wrestlers. And I feel like they could have just gone out and had a great match. I one of them emerging with a clean victory is better than nobody emerging with a clean victory, if that makes sense.
See, I don't necessarily see it that way, because I know, listen, if this does become a trope, I'm going to be furious.
If this becomes a trope, I'm really going to be furious. Greg getting himself.
No, I will work, I'm going to work on that. But if it becomes a trope where, like, yes, regularly they're doing these kinds of finishes where it's dirty, because that's very common in other companies, and I'm not a huge fan when it's done all the time. I'm okay with it here because I don't feel like it's done all the time. Because even a lot of times in AEW, when someone either gets hit from the outside or gets distracted, the match goes on like another 10 minutes most often. So you can get away from it. In this case, this is one of the few times it was like directly led to the finish.
You know what it was too? A, I don't buy after everything that wrestlers go through, an iPad is the thing that's going to like really hurt you. And B, I felt like All Out was so perfect.
Should have hit you with an iPad on Sunday.
It would hurt me. I'm not a professional wrestler, but I feel like All Out, the distracted finish, like the dusty finish and the Redeemed These Nuts finish, there's no way to say it otherwise. Those were like intelligently crafted kind of distraction-y finishes that went really, really well. But I think, yeah, it didn't do it for me. The match, though, ridiculous, but I felt like a convincing win would have been great.
Do you like where they're going with an Andrade?
I think so, but they need to figure out where they're going with him and just stay on a track. Like he's had like four matches and like five managers or whatever. Like they need to, I don't have a problem with anything Andrade's really done. They just need to pick something and stick with it, because everybody's trying to adopt the Lucha Brothers, but now they're tag team champions. Like just let him be great because he's great. So I just want them to stick to a thing. Angel saying Andrade needs some clean, dominant showing wins. I feel like he's getting lost in the shuffle. That's, as usual, him saying it better than I do. That's how I feel about him. That's how I feel about Lance Archer a little bit. He just hasn't had any momentum. So adding a schmoz this early into his run here felt more distracting.
I honestly, like, I don't know if he's getting lost in the shuffle as much as he's just not getting used a lot right now. I think there are long-term plans for Andrade. And to be honest, I don't think he necessarily cares if he gets to work less dates and he's still getting put in these kind of long stories. I mean, he's the only one who can say whether he cares or not, but he seems right now more happy than he was in the E. So that's a good thing. And more Pac Andrade storylines that are long and not just like a quick blow off feud, I'm totally fine with that. Totally fine with that.
Matt,
is this leading to?
Yeah, go ahead, Ant. You can take that.
Matt Reichel, I hope I'm saying your name right. Is this leading to Ric Flair managing Andrade? You know, there's a lot of people out there, I feel like, who are thinking that's what's going to happen. To be honest, I mean, you guys, I'd love your opinions too. I do not need Ric Flair in AEW. My fear is that he comes in, he does something, and then it you know, we get Rick being Rick, and it seems like Rick needs to be involved in everything way more than he needs to be. So, like, I don't necessarily need to see Rick in AEW in any capacity, even in, like, some sort of Four Horsemen kind of thing. Like, I don't necessarily need that. Would it be cool? Sure. But it is what it is. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think if it's Ric Flair, it makes it all about him. But his NWA promo was great. So maybe some of what he was doing in WWE was the E part of it and not him. It's nice that there's a real story there that's genuinely his father-in-law, but I just want manager roulette to stop. An occasional Ric Flair appearance, fine. A Four Horsemen reunion, hell yes. But I don't need him on my TV like every single week.
Yeah, I mean, one-offs Ric, fine, but Ric Flair is Ric Flair no matter what. And if he's in a storyline, he's going to work to be a star in it. And a manager should not be a star. Tully's not a star in his. Arn isn't a star in their his. Like, you got to be able to take the back seat. And I just don't see Ric Flair being able to take a back seat.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. The reason I bring it up is it was such a topic over the last week, was the ending to that match. And again, I thought it was a fantastic match. I am interested in seeing where this goes, because I think it was maybe yesterday or some point this week on social, there was like a short video of Andrade rewarding Jose and giving him a new iPad, you know, for being honest with Andrade and telling him that Chavo, you know, kind of ruined that match. He stepped in. So I think part of this is also, you know, the other thing I think that could be important here is this could be kind of leading to the type of character that Andrade is, right? That ultimate kind of, not necessarily control freak, but the guy who's like, hey, I call the shots. Nobody in my kind of corner is calling the shots. If I want them to step in, they'll step in. But if they're not supposed to, I'll take care of that problem. So should be interesting to see what they do. Other than that, was there anything else about Rampage last week you guys wanted to necessarily call out? Ryan saying no. Kate, anything you want to discuss?
No, that's all right. We can move on.
All right, guys. So then we've got a lot of other stuff that we still got to discuss. We're going to quickly run through the rankings when we get back. We're going to talk about Dynamite. We're going to run through the show. We're going to preview the cards for next week's Dynamite as well as next week's Rampage and a couple other news and notes. But before we do that, we want to take a short break and let you know about some of the other amazing shows that are on the amazing Shining Wizards Network that we are part of. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Everyone knows a lot of things can change in the span of 10 years, but when it comes to professional wrestling podcasting, one thing is still guaranteed. The Shining Wizards is the only place to get all the latest wrestling news, interviews with the greatest laughs, and discussing the world of wrestling. The show is still available on Monday nights at 7 p.m. East on rantymradio.com and Rant Entertainment Media on the TuneIn app, and it's still available on all podcasting platforms. To check us out, head over to ShiningWizards.com, where it's still wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Because of the obvious threat to untold numbers of citizens, and because of the crisis which is even now developing, this radio station will remain on the air day and night. This station and hundreds of other radio and TV stations throughout this part of the country are pooling their resources through an emergency network hookup to keep you informed of all developments.
Horns up, everyone. When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure every Friday to check out Radioactive Metal. Radioactive Metal is one of the longest running podcasts on the interweb. And every week we bring you a fist full of metal, including interviews with all your favorite artists, discuss all the metal news, and feature the best tunes on the air today. So grab a Lemmy, join your cool Uncle Snowy, and co-host Aaron in the pit.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese Man of War Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Are you tired of being told what to think and believe by Hollywood elites and politicians who just don't care about you?
Tired of not getting the truth when you watch the news?
Tired of trying to figure out what pronoun to use?
Tired of mob mentality when all you want to do is think for yourself and make up your own mind?
That's where we come in. This is Justin.
And Vince.
Your host of Inconclusive Breakdown.
We are a weekly anti-PC podcast bringing you entertainment and current event news without any spin.
If you want to truly stay informed on what's going on in the world, then give us a listen every Sunday, anywhere you get podcasts, at least till Zuckerberg and Twitter Jack deplatform us.
And as always, we're proud members of the Shining Wizards Network.
Tired of the PC police telling you what you can and cannot say? Want a show that travels back to the 80s and 90s, where the badass hosts have beaten down cancel culture on three separate occasions and carried on to gloat about it? Since 2013, The Midnight Journey is that show. Travel back to the malls and arcades, pop in your VHS, and join us where the 80s and 90s return from the dead. Conan, tell them where to find us.
WLWstudios.com, home of the Midnight Jury podcast, hosted by Midnight Mike and Calvin Brody.
Also available on all major podcast platforms via the Shining Wizards Network, and join in the conversation on Twitter at Midnight Jury.
What's up, wrestling fans? You want something awesome? Check out Wrestling Night in Canada here on the Shining Wizards Network. We're three Canadian metalheads uniting for the love of pro wrestling. Every episode we go over all the latest news and special events with the odd unique interview as well. So grab a cold one and check out Wrestling Night in Canada, eh?
I don't know why the cameras get all switched up. I like being on the bottom. Oh, if that's not a drop. Anyway, welcome back, everybody.
Wait.
So,
hold on. I was told I need something going forward. My very own Pepe. Now, there's no head on this yet, but I found my Pepe.
Okay. Okay.
So just know I have my Pepe. Someone's going to get hit.
Aunt can sing them for you. That's it. Aunt, take it away.
I'm not rapping. Nope.
No, you didn't say rap. Can someone sing?
I'm not singing either. Nope. You know, Schlong's got his Pepe. I have Lil Mach.
Macho Man.
Little Mach.
Oh, I'm actually scared what she's going to have.
Who knows? I've got a winged eagle somewhere in this room, too, but I'm not going to dig it out.
What is I'll that? Hang out with my Eddie Funko. No, it's Eddie Funko? Guerrero.
You only have that because he's dead.
Longest running Discord joke ever.
Seriously.
Maddie Bo.
Oh, Kate, that reminds me, Kate. I might as well just say it here. Something is on its way to your house. I don't know when it's coming. It's not very big, but I did send you something. So
that's how I sell myself all the ladies. You know.
For whatever it is, as long as it's not like poop or something.
I can't say.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
But you will know from the name on the address that it's from me.
What's that? The name on the address. Okay.
Yeah, you'll know. Guys, let's go through the rankings real fast. We'll do the rankings. We're not going to sing them. We're not going to rap them. We're just going to go through them. So we'll go through the men's division first. We know where our champions are. Kenny Omega, Miro. Number one is now Orange Cassidy. Two, Powerhouse Hobbs. Three, John Moxley. Four, Christian Cage. And five, Jungle Boy. So the Jungle Boy fell down to number five. Moxley jumped up, likely due to his win over Suzuki. But you know, Jungle Boy is going to be involved in some other stuff moving forward, so it's probably why they're moving him down a little bit. In the women's division, our champion is Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. And our number one contender is Ruby Soho. So she's got her title shot. We'll talk about that coming up. Thunder Rosa, number two. Number three, Jade Cargill. Shut up, it's Jade. Number four, I think we saw her last night. I don't remember. Shida? I think that's her name, Shida. And number five is Chris Statlander. So Jade Cargill moving up in the ranks. And then in the tag division, our champs are the Lucha Bros. Number one is the Butcher and the Blade. And that will, Schlong, trust me, it'll make sense. It'll make sense. Two is the Young Bucks. Three is Jurassic Express. I'm just surprised that that Jurassic Express team is not Marco Stunt and Luchasaurus, or Marco Stunt and Jungle Boy, or even just Marco Stunt by himself, because he's strong enough to be two men.
I agree. You're not going to hear me argue. You noticed that that was the one that, what was it, Adam Cole was afraid to mention, was Marco Stunt. He That's did right. not want to challenge that man to a fight. You've got to pick your battles. And he said, I don't go after the toughest. I'll go after, you know, the small little Luchasaurus. I'm not going to mess with Marco Stunt.
Adam Cole fears Marco right. Stunt.
Damn straight.
That's absolutely right. Number four, Santana and Ortiz. And number five, FTR. So those are our rankings. And guys, let's talk about Dynamite. Now, Schlong, some of the stuff you might have to expand on. I think Kate went back and watched Dynamite from last night. I did not. So, like, I can't comment on, like, CM Punk's commentary or things like that. Or even some of the stuff that they may have been saying live on commentary because I was there. So you might have to keep us honest on some of this stuff. But it is worth mentioning, guys, this is the second week in a row that Dynamite has beaten Raw in the ratings. And again, I know it's like, you know, different nights, and now Monday Night Football is going to start competing with Raw and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, second week in a row, I'm sure they're pretty happy about that. And the show was pretty, pretty good. Pretty good. We get an opening with CM Punk making his entrance to join commentary for tonight's episode. Kate, just from being there, the pop live for that crowd was intense. Everybody sang along, and then he stage dove from the ramp into the live crowd in New Jersey, because he knows that the people of New Jersey, birthplace of the Misfits, and, you know, some of the other great punk and hardcore bands who know how to catch stage divers will not let CM Punk hit the ground. And they did not let us down.
He's absolutely going to injure himself. Punk. Amazing pop. Oh, yeah. He's going to tear an ACL and be out for a year. This is how it's going to happen.
I'm more worried on the landing. I mean, did you see the video of it from, like, the fans' point of view?
Yeah. Like, he went real hard into the crowd.
Yeah, it was.
Oh my God. I'm going to shut my dog up.
Are we about to see animal abuse on Kate choking Buster?
Yeah. No. But so Schlong, we were able to see what happened, like, you know, with the screens, obviously, showing the TV feed, like, we could see it from our vantage point. He actually jumped, you know, like, on the same side of the arena that we were sitting. So we couldn't, you know, maybe see, like, the vantage point that they would have shot, you know, of him from behind. But, you know, it looked good. And he was way over. He circled the ring. He stopped with the guy dressed up as Dusty Rhodes, you know, and then went all the way back up to commentary. And everybody was way into it. How did it play on TV?
It played awesomely. I mean, for the Punk they're showing right now, which is still that, like, super over, I'm happy to be back, I'm happy to be having fun Punk, which is important for the initial run. It plays really well because it's not a character. It's very authentic looking. It's very, like, when he jumps in the crowd, it doesn't look like, oh, he did this once and it was fun. It looks like it looked good and we're going to do it again. It looks like, no, he did this once and he loves doing it. And you could just see that on TV. So it played very well. And you could tell, even though we knew you guys weren't going to be able to hear him, you could tell the crowd was just so happy that they got to see him come out. You know, that came over very well on the broadcast.
Guess what, Mike Peterson? He's always been pro wrestling Jesus, because he was straight edge Jesus for like a good chunk of his WWE run. It rules. So I didn't end up getting to watch this back. So I will be doing that at some point in the next 24 hours, as well as Ring of Honor. But the pop for Cult of Personality was insane. And he's always fun on commentary. So I look forward to seeing what he had to say. I heard that he's big into like, hey, I'm here to scout people. It's not just for kicks and giggles out here, which I really liked, because I think we all knew where this was going to head with Taz later in the night. But I like that he was like, hey, no, I'm out here like sizing up Adam Cole. It makes the commentary make more sense, because he's like, let me tell you my thoughts as I'm scouting this dude. So I'm into it.
Since I'm the only one who saw the actual commentary, I guess I'll speak on that now, since it doesn't really fit elsewhere. He was great on it. There were moments in the beginning where it was a little awkward and wasn't his fault. It's the fault of when you're bringing a new guy in and you're trying to get the flow down. But he brought his typical punk fun and good comments. And anytime he thought that it was getting too far away from the match and into like topics about him, he almost always pulled it off of himself and focused it back onto the match, which I really loved, because yes, he did mention being out there to scout and all, but as like behind the scenes, I guess, feeling, even though it wasn't behind the scenes, you could tell though that like when he came out, he viewed his goal was get the matches the attention, get the other guys the attention, get everyone, you know, over. And he did a really good job of that. I was really hoping somebody would spill his Diet Pepsi if he had one. That's the best way he starts feuds. But once he got the flow of the booth, he was really good. Obviously, I don't want this regularly because he's going to be doing other things, but as a constant fit in, I think it really worked.
Do you agree with Eric's comment that Punk actually made a four-man booth work?
He did. Where he differs from like a Jericho, and I love Jericho, I'm a big Jericho fan, but on commentary, when Jericho did some of the Darks and Elevations, or even some of the Dynamites where he was quieter, Jericho fit in a lot better. What people have been complaining about Jericho is the yelling on Rampage. Punk doesn't yell. Punk comes in and he's very, very level, very quiet. And that is so much better for a four-man booth, that you don't have a guy coming in. And he picked his spots and he didn't try to make it about himself. He tried to bring it back to the match. So he fit in really well with a four-man booth. I think he just, it's different in style. I think that style works way better with four men. I think Jericho would work better on a smaller booth because you need an excited guy, but you have an Excalibur. You have all these other guys yelling. You don't need it again. So Asian Joe saying Punk wrangling in Tony from talking about Brit and then getting a technical with Excalibur was gold. Yes. That's a perfect example. Punk would take things that were going on, it felt like they were getting out, and he would pull them back. And I could not appreciate it anymore than he made sure the talent that was on the TV was getting over via his words.
Well, that's because he's the best and has never done anything wrong in his whole life. It's the only possible explanation.
Now I know my first target for Pepe.
Well, that's sincerely Simping very hard. Cool to hear, because that is something that Aunt and I literally could not weigh in on about yesterday. I thought it was kind of a fun rib that the first thing that happens when I see CM Punk for the first time in 7.5 years is that I can't hear him talk for 2 hours. Yeah, super fun.
Well, we go from CM Punk's intro to Adam Cole's in-ring debut for AEW versus Frankie Kazarian. What a match. Listen, I think there were some people who were like, man, Cole hasn't really done anything in the ring for a few weeks now. Like, any chance maybe he's a little stiff or like sluggish or anything like that? Are you fucking nuts? He looked great. And yes, Schlong, I know it was you. I wasn't trying to out you, pal.
I was trolling. Yeah. I knew he'd look wonderful.
Well, you know, he looked great. as Kate kind of put over a little earlier, you know, he was tuning up the band, you know, playing really into that heel shit. Went for the Panama Sunrise at one point, couldn't get it to connect. Eventually, he does connect with the Panama Sunrise on Frankie, and he wins by pinfall with the last shot, is what I'm seeing it called. And then post-match, we were ready for some story time with Adam Cole, baby. And he says, hope is a dangerous thing. The locker room thinks they can keep up with the Elite, but that ain't going to happen. He's only in AEW, only been in AEW for a short time, and there are already three guys getting under his skin. Christian Cage, Luchasaurus, and Jungle Boy Jack Perry. And if not they're Marcus so Stunt. Tough, how... No. Listen, you don't want the wrath of... You don't want the wrath of Marco Stunt. You really don't. He says that if they're so tough, how about next week on Rampage? They do a trios match, Adam Cole and the Young Bucks. He says he'll super click is back, baby. There's not a damn thing anybody can do to stop them. And then he drops the mic. Shlong, I'm going to throw it to you first, and I might throw it to you quite a bit because you're going to have the TV take and Kate and I are going to have kind of the live take, right? What did you think about the match and what did you think about the promo?
If anyone hears me laughing, I'm sorry. It was Kate shaking her head at Buster pull something off the table behind her, which I just can't get enough of.
I'm an idiot and I put his bark box over there and didn't move it. So he's just like smelling all of the treats and toys that are in there. So I'm going to go move that right now.
Okay. So he came off TV wise as a star. I mean, I'm going to say it, and his jacket is awesome. I love his jacket. This is one of those times where I asked about the music in the arena versus the music on TV is I don't think his music's loud enough for as over as that song is. You know, when he came out at All Out, it blared, and I didn't feel like I got that this time. And I think that's the one thing when you're introducing someone cool, Akim, as stupid as it is, the music blaring really helps. The match was a lot of fun. The commentators were, you know, Punk put him over quite a lot for all his skill and all his what he could do. And he was definitely the focus. Kazarian was the perfect opponent. I love Kazarian. God, still put up amazing matches. Can take losses, and who cares? Because that's not really what he's about right now. The promo after, so when he first started, I wasn't sure where he was going with these, like, Christian Cage, like, was the who he was going to pick. I thought he was going to stop at Christian and maybe say someone else unrelated to them. I'm glad they followed through and gave us the two homegrown talents. I like him as part of the Elite, mainly because he doesn't have to come and prove himself ring-wise because he didn't take 7 years off. He's been doing it. And he also doesn't have a limited run in him where you're like, if we don't push him now, he's done. He's got so many years in front of him that he could be a star as part of the Elite but not need to be by himself right away. And I just love that. He just, though, I will say, on the TV, I don't know if it comes across in person because I haven't seen him in person, but when you watch him walk out and you see, and you know the fans love him and you know he's a heel, but he just comes off as like, the coolest, most charismatic guy in the world. Like, you're just like, I don't know why, but this guy's got something that you're very interested in. And it comes across really well on TV. And like I said, even as stupid as like the jacket, like it just like, you put that jacket on someone else, probably looks like a huge dork. But on him, he pulls it off. Like, I just love the whole presentation.
Yeah, I'll echo something that I heard one of my Fightful friends say today, which was, the coolest thing about this Adam Cole thing right now to him, and I agree, is he was only an NXT guy. So he hasn't had arena moments, really. And he looked really good in this debut, which was a very good point that I didn't even think about. He did the Full Sail run and didn't really do, like, he didn't do a Mania. He didn't do any of that. He did some takeovers, but, like, he has not been someone that was consistently touring in arenas. And from what everybody said online, and certainly it felt this way in person, he was not nervous under the lights. He really, really, really shined in this match. Kaz is a perfect opponent. We have Mike Peterson saying that Kaz is so underrated. And Yes, to an extent, but I think people know his value and I think they use him actually pretty well with this stuff. Him being the Elite Hunter is so great because, of course, all of these stories predate the existence of the promotion, which is so special and cool to me. But I think that was a really good point that they made on the distraction at Fightful today of, like, he has not been in an arena touring promotion before. He's been in the Full Sail gimmick. So it's cool that he gets to thrive in that way and to do it in front of, I think it's 17,000 people in Newark. That's rules. That's awesome. So, and a great opener. And one of the biggest pops of the night, right? I mean, the baby was,
oh yeah,
deafening.
Yeah. Even going into the arena before anything had started, people were yelling Adam Cole and getting the loudest baby's in response. Like, it was ridiculous. And Kate, that's a great point. You're right. He definitely had the majority of his run in front of a Full Sail crowd, but man, some of those NXT takeovers that he did, he put on fantastic matches in front of large crowds. I think we were in Brooklyn for Takeover 4 when he fought Ricochet for the title for NXT. And I mean, that was a fantastic match. I mean, I don't have any doubts that you put him in front of the largest crowds and he's going to shine, you know? So it was fantastic. And to be honest, Kate, when he first, you know, said it's story time with Adam Cole, for some reason, I was like, is he going to just call out Punk right here? Like, are we going to launch into a CM Punk feud? Because he was on commentary. So I was like, yeah, it can happen. Like, it makes sense, but I'm glad it didn't. I think eventually we might get that something there. But here's the other thing I was thinking about as we were sitting there. We spoke about it last week when he started doing his initial interview, his first interview in AEW, and he talked about everybody in the Elite except the Good Brothers, right? This week he comes out and talks about how dominant Super Click is going to be, and nobody's going to be able to stop them. Are we going to get Adam Cole trying to usurp control of the Elite from Kenny Omega? And that's how we blow up the Elite eventually?
Or something with Cody trying to come back into the Elite?
Who knows?
They reject Cody trying to come back around or something? Man, this is so fun. Like, there's so many ways that could go. That rules. Good call, Ant. I really like that.
I think Adam Cole, it often gets forgotten. And I know people, it's weird to say this, it gets forgotten. He's 32. Like, he's just in the prime of his wrestling career. He's not old for wrestling by any means. He's young for wrestling because a lot of those guys don't hit their stride for a couple more years. So, like, he comes in and he's, you know, you got Punk, you got Brian, who are older. He's not. He could be the star for a generation. I mean, he is awesome already. And so if he feuded with Punk, it wouldn't feel like, oh, great, they're giving us these two old heads. It's like, no, they're giving us the young star getting put over again by Punk because Cole is young. He just happens to already be a star. And I think it's once Kenny loses, that's when Cole makes his move for the Elite.
I kind of like it. Not mad about that.
No, it's going to be really interesting to see how they want to play out Adam Cole and the Elite and this whole thing. I think eventually we're going to see cracks and it's going to crumble and these guys are all going to go their separate ways. But
do you hear this dork in the background?
To eventually get there.
I do.
We do. He's crying. It's adorable. Give him a treat.
Do you know what he's crying at? A paper towel roll. I took all his treats away, but he just wants to play with the paper towels. Can't play with paper towels. There we go. Hi, buddy. Be a good boy. There we go. Oh,
my goodness.
Say hi to the people. Get yourself over. Yeah.
Hello, Buster. We've seen your red. Most of these people haven't seen the Red Rocket before. We have.
No, and hopefully that stays the case.
My goodness. Ryan, you know, maybe you weren't listening way back when, but Kate was sexually assaulted by Buster.
Oh, I was listening. I heard.
Yeah.
Memories.
It's weird. She's sending mixed messages. She's like kissing him, and then he'll be like, "Come on, baby," and she's like, "No, don't. I don't need this." But he still should. Like, no is no. No is no. He needs to know that.
So I'm gonna put up a comment. Anyway. I don't usually put up comments, but I want to because I agree with this 100%. Mike Peterson saying, "I just want to see Kenny go insane." Yes, I think that's what it's everyone wants. Because he's already kind of insane. Like he's taking his character that way. So when he flips completely, gonna lose, just be the greatest thing ever.
Broken Kenny Omega.
Oh man,
I'm there for that.
He's gonna completely devolve. He's gonna go nuts. He'll go away and he'll come back, and it'll be so much fun. After this, we do get a short video package for the Lucha Brothers versus Butcher and the Blade. Excuse me. That will be Friday Night Rampage, and that's a title match, Ryan. That's a title match.
No, but it just...
It's okay. Listen, Andy's back. The Butcher is back, and he's bigger than ever. My God.
I love them as a team. I'm not insulting them as a team. I wish they had just even given them a few more weeks on Dark and Elevation to just say, like, we've been doing something. It just comes out of nowhere. But at the same point, I'm having not seen it. I know you guys saw. I'm assuming they put on a great match because those guys can go. And I'm also going to put over someone that follows us on Twitter and we follow back, which is Wrestling Musicals. And I tweeted it twice, but they did Butcher and the Blade to Pinky and the Brain. I now cannot hear their name without singing "The Butcher and the Blade." The Butcher and the Blade. It just fits so perfectly.
It's perfect.
So I'm so glad Andy's back. He is just awesome. He's scary. Like he looks scary.
He's completely
one of the nicest guys personally.
Yeah. I like they're just a completely different tag team than anybody else in AEW too. Like what they do is completely different from anybody else that's there, I feel like, where it's not like we're so big, we're Bear Country, but they're also not Flippy Doo guys, right? Like they have such a specific flavor to themselves. So that's good.
And I will say this, and this has nothing to do with the match on Rampage. All I wanted to see Andy do was when he walks around the ring and takes a knee, does like the duck walk across the ring. Swear to God, the moment he did that, everybody in the row in front of us stood up so somebody could get in. And I was like, the only thing I want to see this guy do. I mean, it was great to see him wrestle, but I was like, all right, like he's back. And I missed it. Yeah. Anyway. So we do get an interview backstage with Sammy Guevara and for some reason, Fuego del Sol sitting on a Hyundai. And Fuego says he'd trade his shiny new car for another shot at the TNT championship. When Sammy prompts him, he challenges Miro to a rematch on Friday, this Friday on Rampage. So folks, it's title versus car on Friday Night Rampage. Be sure to check it out.
So title versus title. Nailed it.
Oh, well played. Well played. I just feel like he just got signed and maybe should be a little more fiscally responsible than that.
Have you seen how well his t-shirt is selling? Excuse me.
That's a good point. But like you just got this new car. Nobody ever puts like their 2004 Camry on the line. That's way smarter.
I'm pretty sure that was like a 2004 Hyundai.
Fair enough.
Yeah, they should do that. Definitely a Hyundai.
Put a car on the line that has not that much value.
I don't think it has. Like, I'm not even being sorry. I don't think it wasn't like he was sitting on like a BMW. It was not an. I don't think it was a nice. An okay car, but
good for being practical with your purchases. You go, Fuego.
So I think it's hard for you two to talk about this in a sense because you've seen the results of this match, whereas I have not. So all I'm going to say is this, as a huge Fuego mark, I'm going to be very sad because I fully expect him to lose the car. However, when he's lost to Miro the first time, he got a contract. So now he's going to lose to Miro a second time. Maybe he gets an even nicer car. Like, can he just keep losing up? I'm thinking that's the way we go. He's the master of the tornado DDT. He's blown some muscle. He's looking a little bigger.
Just, he's got some, he's a little more diesel fuego.
I love that they're also including him in somewhat with Sammy, because they got over together on the vlog. They're clearly real best friends. And Sammy, it's putting Sammy in a position of, in the inner circle, he was Jericho's like second and kind of always played off Jericho. Now this is flipped. Sammy's the star and Fuego's the one like who's like his second. Like Sammy's the one who's the big timer. And I like that. I love that because Sammy's earned it. So I know he's gonna lose the car. I don't know. I don't need, you haven't spoiled it. I don't need spoilers. I know there's no way they have him beat Miro. I just hope it was a good match and he gets a better car.
That's fair. I'm just saying, nobody thought Christian was gonna win against Kenny. You never know what could happen on Rampage.
And I'll just say this. He calls himself the master of the tornado DDT. Just remember that while you watch that match Friday night. Just remember.
I'm assuming he's not allowed to hit it. That happened to him all the time.
Just watch.
Just watch. I'm hoping they keep it in, Kate, if you know what I'm talking about.
I do. I do know what you mean.
Okay. Is there a botch?
Good. No, I didn't say anything.
Just watch.
He's coming. All right, we can move on.
Look up the spoilers.
I'm just going to ask Kate later, but
we move on to. I mean, I'll tell you after we get off. Like I'm not.
That's what she said.
Not doing it here. Oh my god! So we go to Maxwell, Jacob Friedman, and Wardlow making their entrance, and my god, again, my boo was just appropriate. From being there live. What's that?
I said my boo is appropriate. That's all you guys could hear.
Oh my god, it was deafening.
Insane.
So MJF gets on the mic, complains about being the armpit of New Jersey, America, real original MJF.
Yeah, man.
And he asks what Bruce Springsteen, Taylor Ham, and the New Jersey hockey team have in common. And he says they all suck as hard as Jersey Shore skanks. He refuses to apologize to the fans at home for last week and has a conversation with the ghost of Brian Pillman. He talks to heaven at first before immediately changing gears and looking down as if Pillman's in hell. He tells Brian his kid is the worst second generation wrestler and that he should tell his son that if he shows up in Queens, MJF is going to massacre him. The fans, can chant Pillman all they want, but at the end of the day, it should be obvious that he's better. But then the Varsity Blondes music hits. And as Wardlow goes up to ramp to meet the Varsity Blondes, Brian Pillman Jr. comes in from the crowd, from back, with a chair. And then Mr. Mayhem turns around, gets back in time to take the chair away. And Pillman slaps him in the face, basically apologizes very quickly, low bridges him to the apron with the chair in hand. And he runs Wardlow off, and he and MJF kind of regroup on the floor. That did kind of segue into a sit-down interview with JR, where JR was telling Junior about his dad and he's going to have a son and all this kind of nice stuff. And then Pillman says that when MJF was eating out of a silver spoon, he was fighting for his life. They're not the same, and MJF's never been in the ring with somebody like him. His upbringing was feral, and you don't know what he's lost and the adversity he's been through. He'll be stepping into the ring with Pillman, and we go to break. So, Schlong, again, I want your take because you had the TV feed. Kate and I had a very tough time hearing this promo because it was very loud. What did you think about this?
So, real quick, Plugger Loves Wrestling said MJF with that nuclear heat in Cincinnati. He carried that over, clearly. I mean, he made it in Cincinnati and clearly carried that over to Newark. Couple things. One, the Varsity Blondes have like a cat at the beginning of their promo, right? Like almost sounds like a tiger or a cat. Am I making that up?
Yeah, I think it's like a wild cat. Yeah, I think you might be
right.
Just,
it was in my head, and for whatever reason, now I'm thinking of the beginning of Sable's theme. I think next from now on, that's all I'm going to hear. So just in case anyone's curious what's going to go through my head every time I hear them come out. The promo was really good. You could tell on the TV how loud you couldn't. You could tell how loud the crowd was. We could hear them. Like you guys weren't obviously interfering with that because they had the feed go directly to us. But you could watching them like, oh, he's yelling for a reason. Like you could just tell instantly how bad it was in a good way. When he switched from heaven to hell, he goes, "Oh, who am I kidding?" and looks down. What a great heel moment. And I was like, Kate, I was listening to her buddy because we weren't on last night. I had to listen to someone. I listened to her buddies over at Fightful, and they were talking. And you know, everyone's saying, "Oh, how could he do that?" You know, he talked to Brian Pillman about that. You know, he talked to the family. If the family's okay with it, I'm okay with it. Because Brian Pillman Sr. would have been way okay with it.
Yeah,
like that man was way into doing that kind of stuff. So it's perfect. I also think watching all this, you know, when you watch the Varsity Blondes, and I still want them as a team. I don't want them breaking up. I was wondering for a while there if Griff Garrison was actually going to be the breakout star. Had a great look. He could talk a little. This has done wonders for Brian Pillman. And Brian Pillman Jr. has a great story because not many second-generation wrestlers have come up like through a hard life. Most of them are the silver spoon. You were handed everything in this industry. He legitimately, as we saw on Dark Side of the Ring, has come up with a very tough life. So his sit-down promo with JR kind of got... Yeah, kind of got that across. I forgot for a second, but what's Jaron? Kind of got that across to me. Like, oh, yeah, he's not just every other second generation wrestler. He's someone who can legitimately talk about the struggles he's had in life. And this has been, he's been great in this. This has been, I've really been enjoying this feud. It's, you know, I was wondering where MJF went next after the Jericho thing. We could talk where Jericho went next. I'm glad they split them up. I'm glad it just was like, okay, that's done. You move on. This is a perfect feud, two young guys. I think Pillman Jr. and Griff Garrison could both be huge stars. I don't have to think that MJF will be a huge star. He clearly is. The fact that I'm watching and going, holy crap, I get why he's yelling, should tell everyone what they need to know. That's how you could tell the reaction he was getting. And that was just by opening his mouth and basically saying, I'm MJF. It was perfect. And it was good. Like I said, when he flipped from heaven to hell, I lost it. It was one of the best moments I've seen in a promo in a long time. Just be like, oh, who am I kidding? And going down, just holy shit. So go back and watch it for both of you, because you'll really enjoy it.
He does so many little things really well. We couldn't hear a ton because it was deafening, but there was one point where he very gently invited the crowd into a chant. I forget what it was, but like he was like,
it was a positive chant.
It was, yeah. But he was like, oh, you guys are going to be chanting blah, blah, blah. Like, very gently just kind of massaged him into it. Like, he just does so many little things, right? And I was sitting next to Matt. When I say it was as deafening as the CM Punk reaction, I'm not kidding. And Matt was just like, God, this is what a heel promo was supposed to sound like. And then when Pillman's music hit and he came out, I'm guessing it's a bangle for Cincinnati. But I guess Pillman Sr. had a very similar shirt, which I did not know, which is very cool. But the pop for him, you were like, man, MJF kind of helped just create that. Like, it was really, really exactly how a heel and a face are supposed to work. It was really great.
So funny thing, Kate, because you brought it up, him getting the Pillman chant, Eric Redden saying Pillman, Pillman, Pillman. And yeah, the funny thing about that chant, I don't know if it came across in the arena because you guys were in the middle of the chant, but on TV is the struggle you guys in the arena had switching from the hardcore boos to a positive chant. It's not a knock on him. It's just people wanted to hate him so bad that it was like literally like effort. You could hear it on the TV. People were like, oh, wait, we're supposed to be happy for a second. Okay. I know how he got such heat, but you see, and even in AEW, you see it. You see all these heels trying to get that level of heat. Like, look at what the Elite has to go through to be considered heels. And he just is an asshole, and it works.
Yeah.
I guess it helps to have a punchable face.
He's very good. He's very good at that. And Schlong, I think it made it to TV. But did you see the sign of him as a kid on the Rosie O'Donnell show? And it just said, you tapped out. It was perfect.
Wait, perfect. And I'm pulling up a quote, a comment, because this is a question I asked on Twitter while I was live tweeting. MJF, the first heel to get cheap heat on the smell of New Jersey. That was the question I asked. Which heel was going to insult Jersey smell first? And good old MJF, because it's the most common heel tactic when you come to Jersey. Oh, the smell of this place. But he, being MJF, yeah. It's like, yeah, I don't like you saying that. I hate you.
Oh, I was like, yeah, no, he's right. I booed because it was my job as a fan, but I was like, yes, this place, Newark is not great.
Newark.
I'll say this. I was not booing MJF. I was cheering. And not because of the comments about the smell or anything like that. Because you have to realize where you stand in the class system. He's better than us, and I know it. So
that's actually a really fair point, and not enough people are making it.
But I'm all about class warfare, baby. Let's take that man down.
That's why you've got Pepe.
Down with the bourgeoisie, up with the proletariat.
Oh boy,
I'm going a weird direction, guys.
We're gonna keep moving forward because I don't want to get into bourgeois versus proletariat discussion. They go to commercial and come back with Jurassic Express. And Christian Cage getting interviewed backstage in response to the challenge thrown down earlier in the night. Jungle Boy says he has better friends and hair than Adam Cole. And when it comes to, but then Christian cuts him off and says, Adam does have some pretty good friends, friends who threw him a lifeline and dragged his sorry ass out of developmental. And since he's already used to losing the Wednesday Night Wars, he might as well throw Fridays in there too. So we are going to get next Friday on Rampage, Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus, and Christian Cage versus Adam Cole and the Young Bucks. Super click. To me, this pretty much put the nail in the coffin of the Wednesday Night Wars, right? You talk about a guy leaving developmental and being used to losing that Wednesday Night War, and it should never be mentioned again. That should be the last we ever talk about it, because that was a perfect way of putting it. I thought this was a very short but really good promo to build this match next week.
Yeah, that was great. I'm with you on all of that.
I have no real comment on it. I just have a question for you two, and it's more, is the arena quiet when they start this promo and then you guys react accordingly? Or is like, you guys still just hyped from what was going on before? And
people, believe it or not, did quiet down. And they played it over, you know, the screens and the speakers. So like, you could hear this, but people did quiet down. Like when videos played, people were quiet enough. And when it elicited a reaction, people reacted, you know. So when he said those things, you know, people started to get all lit up. But yeah, this was one we definitely heard because people were listening to everything they were saying.
Okay. I was just curious because you guys were so worked up. Also, in case anyone just is following baseball tonight, I've never seen anything like this. Phillies went down 7-0 in like the third, won 17-8. What the fuck?
That's why you don't bet on baseball.
No.
There you go.
I don't bet on anything. I'm a bad gambler. But anyway, back to the good stuff.
So we move on to Dante Martin and Matt Sydal versus FTR. And of course, this is when I got up to get a drink. So I missed this entire match.
So am I the only one who saw the match?
No, we both went at the same time.
Yeah. And again, I said going on the way to the arena, I was like, man, I hope like Dante Martin is on a show that we're gonna see somewhere, because I'd love to see what he does live, and I missed the whole fucking thing. Maybe I'll get to see him next week. But what I can tell you is that FTR did win by pinfall with the big rig on Dante Martin. So poor Dante ate that pin. Schlong, how was the match?
It's a match you wish you had seen, because Sydal is awesome too. So you had two guys who just, they clicked as a tag team. There's a couple moves in there again where you're like, but Dante Martin, like, what the hell are you doing? How? Like, I don't understand how a guy moves like that. I you know, the match was awesome. You knew they were going to lose because FTR is obviously the bigger name and they are not the put together team. They're the real team and they're amazing too. I don't want to take anything away from them because their style worked so well with the high flyers. I think that's what's most impressive about FTR is how well they adapt to everyone. I will say this, when Dante's brother, Darius Martin comes back. I'm always forget his name because he's not on enough. When he comes back, I am so excited for Top Flight because them versus like Lucha Brothers, them versus the Bucks. I mean, those two fly. Yeah. Dante's been a star by himself, but there's no room for him as a singles guy. There's a lot of room for a team that's going to do the things they can do. So this is one, and you probably want to go back and watch because it's going to be a lot of fun for you to see some of the really cool stuff he did.
Yeah, I was do able plan to on watch going back through to the watch curtain.
Were you able to watch through the curtain, Ant? I was able to watch on the. You could see the screen. Oh, bummer.
No. Yeah, did not have that good of vantage point.
So sad.
Oh, JR.
Yeah. Asian Joe saying, bless JR's heart. He called FTR RTF.
You know what?
But that's though? Okay that because. Is... Go ahead,
Shlomo. That's not even. That's like. That is clearly just like fumbling your words. That's not like, oh, he was in WWE too long or he doesn't care. There was no team named RTF. He literally just had letters in his head and couldn't get them out in the right order.
Okay, but let's rename what RTF stands for. Revive the Four.
Could be Ride the Fury or not Ride the Fury. Whatever. Doesn't matter.
You guys have no fun.
To be honest.
Oh, I mean, I would just go with Ryan's Thunder fucking, but that was me.
Well, there you go.
Jesus.
Story tracks.
It took me a while to get there. I don't want to. I'm sad on how long it took me to get that.
Yeah, I do. Shlong, I do plan on going back and watching this. I just obviously didn't have time to do that today. So I'll go back and watch it. Maybe we'll see him in Arthur Ashe at some point. But commentary does, after this, bring up the Suzuki incident. CM Punk talks about how seriously they take it and what a pioneer Minoru Suzuki is in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. And Minoru feels insulted and wants some payback. And to hear his entrance music. That segues into a video package from Suzuki and Lance Archer about Moxley's match against Minoru. Archer says, once Suzuki gone, always Suzuki gone. And we get some New Japan footage of them kicking ass before they declare in unison that Suzuki gone, Ichiban. And then Malakai Black makes his entrance and gets on the mic, and we go to a whole different thing. So I'm going to stop there. Anybody, Kate, I don't know if you were back to see that promo or anything like that. I definitely didn't. But
I just love that it's canon.
Yeah. Shlong, how do you feel about the Suzuki incident?
Like I said earlier, that's one of those cases where AEW didn't really mess up. I don't care what anyone says. Like, I know people love to sing along, but it's not the biggest mess up in the world. But they saw that fans were really into something and said, fuck it, we're going with it. And have turned it into a storyline. It's brilliant. Like, that is fun professional wrestling, where the fans have an impact just by being so passionate and being fun with things. I loved it. There's nothing more. I mean, and I like that Archer and Suzuki actually have a history, so it makes this thing seem like it matters. Like, we're gonna have this cool match that we're gonna love to see, and there's a storyline to it, and the storyline is really stupid. His song got cut off, but I fucking love it now. And I can't wait. And when they play the whole song, people are gonna lose their fucking minds, and that is gonna be a cool moment. So that's.
Well, I'm just glad I got to make a Suzuki. I'm just glad I got to make a banner that said the Suzuki incident. That rules.
Well, we'll talk more about Suzuki a little bit later. But as I mentioned, Malakai Black made his entrance and got onto the mic. And just so you guys understand how long it took me to use the restroom, which was a fraction of the time, to then go to purchase a beverage, pay for said beverage and have said concessions person pour that beverage into a cup and me get back to my seat. It was from the time Dante Martin was entering with Matt Sydal all the way to Malachi Black finishing his entrance. I missed the entire goddamn entrance. I did, however, see everything that followed, where he said he's an enemy amongst us, and the camera then highlighted Rosario Dawson in the front row wearing her Nightmare Family jacket. Very nice corporate synergy. Very nice, very evil corporate synergy. And Cody Rhodes made his return through the crowd. Asian Joe, next week we can type the Hyundai incident. I'm not sure.
Amazing.
Asian Joe will have to watch. We'll have to watch Friday Night Rampage.
Sorry, I was late on that, but that I couldn't let that one go. That was too good.
It's a good one.
I approve.
So Cody Rhodes, as Rosario Dawson's in the front row getting kind of yelled at by Malachi Black, Cody Rhodes makes his return through the crowd. And then Rosario hops the rail to tie up Malachi Black in some sort of chokehold. He shrugs her off eventually, and then Cody attacks, and they brawl up through the crowd, fighting on the stairs, throwing the fans food at each other and drinks, and all that I kept thinking about, quite honestly, and then we went to the break. Schlong, just so you know, all that I kept thinking about was how long those people must have had to wait to get those food and drinks just to have them thrown at wrestlers. It had to be just nightmarish. That's all I kept thinking was, A, how much that cost, and B, the amount of time and effort it took to get those items. But there are a lot of people around me, Kate, who were actually booing this because of Cody Rhodes. And I was rolling my eyes again because of this perception that Cody Rhodes ruins everything and buries everybody. I don't get it. This is all perfectly fine. There's a story they're telling here. Cody Rhodes hasn't been on television for, 3 weeks now? And now he's coming back because they have to build the match next week that we're going to get at Arthur Ashe. And we knew that we were getting this.
So I don't know how much of this is Cody hate versus just Malachi Black being just the coolest motherfucker. Like, I didn't like that Cody got booed either, because I think the story has been fantastic. And I think it's some of the best work Cody's done in a really long time. But Newark is not like that far off from Philly and how much they appreciate like heels and a Malachi Black type character. So I'm hoping at Arthur Ashe, I think the crowd will probably play a little bit more into this angle. So I was also still in line for the Malachi Black entrance. But as I said before, like, I was able to go to the top of the ramp because of a very nice gentleman waiting for holding my spot in line. It's hard to not cheer for that guy. It's really, really hard to not cheer for that guy. I get it. I would have done the right thing and played along. He's not better than us. We don't know that. So you don't even have to worry about the class system, but it's really hard when somebody makes an entrance like that not to be like, that guy fucking is so cool. How do I not root for that dude? But I'm with you. I think this was just like a smarky moment, but I think at Arthur Ashe, the right situation will present itself.
I hope
so. So I have a question here. Again, this is, you got Kate, Aunt, you can't answer it. Kate, you can. When he's coming out, how dark is it for him to walk down that ramp and get in that ring?
Not as dark as, like, I think it's lit properly for television, but it's not bright. Like, it's, you could see live that there was some sort of guide, but it wasn't like it was lit up. It was pretty cool. But I think more than lit on the ramp, if I can remember, because I was kind of watching it more on the screen at that point, I think there's just general arena lights that can kind of guide you versus like a lit up ramp. But it was so cool.
I put on Twitter, I think last week, I walked into an end table in the middle of the night because it was slightly dark. Yeah. Like, I don't know how he does it,
yeah.
But I love Rosario Dawson. She was in Clerks 2. She was in all the Marvel stuff. Like, I'm a big fan of hers. Apparently, the Go Big show got a second season. I was watching A Shot of Brandy because I wanted to see her guest list because she's had some funny stuff on there. And she announced second season. It was Cody, whatever. But she said second season, so it does make sense to have her on and do the corporate synergy. She's in New Jersey. She lives in New Jersey. Or at least she's dating Cory Booker or whatever. I like that Cody came down in a red suit because everything Cody wears is intentional. So he wasn't the White Knight today. He was out for blood. I'm very curious to see where they go with this because, you know, seeing does Cody win by cheating? Is this like Cody's venture into the dark side? And that's Malakai Black's like whole plan. Like, look, I can break anyone. Like, or does he just lose? Obviously, I don't think Cody comes out clean. I think there, if he wins, I think it comes out through a cheating way and it's part of Malakai Black's bigger plan, or he just loses. I'm just very interested. I'm going to love this match at Arthur Ashe. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah, I've loved everything about this story. I don't know why people are like outsmarting themselves. It's been fantastic.
I just look forward to finally seeing Malakai Black's entrance in AEW. We go to commercial and come back. They recap Rosario Dawson choking out Malakai Black. And then they give us a video package for the feud that's going on between the Bunny and Anna Jay. And we find out they're also going to have a match on Friday Night Rampage. So we look forward to discussing that in the future. We then get a Dark Order interview where Evil Uno cuts Anna off from answering a question about debuting on Rampage. And then Alex Reynolds rolls up and berates Uno for being a bad leader. Alan Five Angels agrees. Anna Jay tells them all to shut up and says if they're going to be like this, she doesn't want any of them at ringside for her match. So, guys, some infighting still happening with the Dark Order. Guys, the Dark Order is not okay, even though Evil Uno says they are okay. And I'm just going to say this. Everybody should watch Elevation. I'm just going to say that, Kate. Everybody should watch Elevation.
I think that's fair. This did not get booked, but I appreciate you, Mike. We don't have any real infighting here. We bicker. They pick on my puns and my singing from time to time.
I could take them all.
You could take them all. So if we're going to do, you know, I think we could handle probably a blood and guts style match for that. definitely watch your Elevation for this angle for sure. Nice to see Anna back on television. So that was great. but I think, you know, the story has been, despite what Matt had predicted a few weeks ago, that Anna was going to come back and whip him into shape. I don't think she can do it herself. I think she needs a certain drunk cowboy to help out. So if that's where this is heading, I'm all for it.
Hey, did you watch, BTE this week?
I did not. I heard it's gangbusters though. Yeah.
You have to, especially because she cannot keep a straight face.
I'm so glad.
When John Silver is talking to her.
I miss corpsing Anna.
So I love all this. First of all, two women's feuds legitimately going on at one time. And you could almost, and this whole Diamante thing isn't done yet in terms of like, the feud might be done, but at least they gave him character growth out of it. And there's, but two legitimate feuds, which I'm really excited for. I'm with that Hangman comes back. And this has kind of been like a holding pattern for Dark Order, because obviously their big story was tied in with Hangman's big story. And I think his comeback raises them all up to a higher level. And I'm very excited for that. I love everything going on. I hate everything going on because the Dark Order is wonderful, but I love everything going on. And I love, again, my favorite part of this though is that you have a second women's feud that's legitimate, and it's a tag feud of all things, you know, Penelope and Bunny versus TJ, and give me some goddamn titles. But yeah, it was great. And she almost laughed when John said Anna on Dynamite. So they were very smart to stop that quickly.
The only thing about this that I didn't like, and I said it to Matt live, like, it's just a shame how hideous everybody involved in this angle was. So, and I think he said, yeah, it would be a shame if they kissed.
So, I mean, Johnny Hungy is just not a good looking man. What can you say?
Yeah, no, that's, well, he's the relief in that. He's got
the gif of Tay Conte reacting to him flexing.
Hideous, all man. Four ladies.
We move to Dan Lambert, an American Top Team, and the men of the year in the ring. I'll just say this again. Kate can back me up once we get through this, but it was fucking loud.
Yeah.
For people hating on Dan Lambert and American Top Team. But Lambert says, back in the day, you knew who was over by whose merch sold, but now all AEW shirts are sold out in men's small and women's extra large. He then derides the modern indie main event style to an extensive degree, and then Jericho and Jake Hager enter the fray. And Dan says that the crowd doesn't even know the words to Judas, but they keep singing after it cuts off. That was us. To prove Dan Lambert wrong. Jericho says they'd sing along to Lambert's song, but nobody knows the words to I'm a Fat Faced Dipshit, Yeah, Yeah, Yeah. And of course, everybody knew the words. We all sang along.
Yeah, we did.
So it was a lot of fun. Jericho then asks why Lambert's a grumpy old man screaming at the AEW clouds. I laughed at that. Surrounded by meatheads, and he wants to know which one is on top of American Top Team. He puts Hager's MMA credentials over, and he also refers to his backstage fights against Brock Lesnar and Goldberg as proof that he can hang with MMA guys. And he quotes Mike Tyson saying, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. He wants to knock Dan's teeth down his throat. And then Lambert says that if you want to see the men of the year take out the inner circle jerk, you have to see it in a real city, not the shithole of New Jersey. So next week in the Big Apple, we will see Jericho and Hager versus the men of the year. Schlong, I'm going to throw this one again to you because it was a little loud. We didn't hear everything Lambert was saying, but I think we picked up enough, you know, that this was an exciting promo in-house. How did it play on TV?
So, again, I've been with you guys. I'm not a huge fan of Dan Lambert. I don't understand his role in this. However, based on the reaction, clearly the AEW knows something I don't, because he is getting a ton of heat. And maybe Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky need it because they fear that they're so likable that they will become. I'm just giving theories, Caitlin. The promos were good. I can't believe Pussy made it onto TV. That actually was shocking to me. The top joke, it's just a stupid joke. Like, I don't, people were not happy with it. I get why. It's not, like, from what I understand, overly offensive. It's just be like, what, why? And to me, the problem with that joke is not the problem with that joke, but one of the issues with that joke, I should say, is Jericho is supposed to be the cooler guy in this. And that's like almost like a punny joke. Like, the cooler guy doesn't make the pun. He makes the cooler joke. But
the not cool people make the puns, if you know anything about the show.
But, I mean, again, I think that was just one of those things where if you're upset about it, you're upset about it. I don't care. But the real shock to me is that Pussy made it on TV. I just cannot believe that got through.
Yeah, there was a lot of P words and S words. They said shit a lot on this episode. I don't like the stuff that we've talked about not liking every week. Like, I don't like this pairing. This was a smart way to turn it, though. I was wondering why Lambert wasn't with Hager the entire time. This makes sense. It makes sense because I feel like it's being used as some cross-promotional thing between Bellator and whatever the hell Lambert's doing. So they at least brought it to a thing that is buy-inable to. I just still don't like it, but I think this was a good way to turn an angle that felt completely lost and man, oh man, it got heat. Like, for me, that's go away heat. Like, I don't like it, but there was a crowd reaction and a huge pop for Jericho too, which was nice to see coming out of what felt like a very stale feud.
I'm also happy to see the men of the year going against Jericho and Hager, in the sense of, like, granted, I would love for the men of the year to be doing maybe more of a singles run, but if they're a tag team, at least they're keeping them with the bigger names.
Yeah.
They're never going against guys who are low on the card. They're always going against the big names, which I really appreciate.
Yeah, and they can both work. So being in the ring with a guy like Jericho, you know, and Hager, I think they'll have a good match next week. So should be fun. Also worth noting that Mrs. Money turned to me and said, "Ethan Page is pretty hot." And I was like, "Yeah, you're not wrong. He's a handsome guy."
I'd do it.
If she thinks he's hot, she should see the Karate Man.
He,
oh my goodness,
so different anymore, where he lost all that weight.
Yeah, he worked really hard. He worked really, really hard. Ethan Page,
too hard, too much work. I'll stay a fat guy.
Well, moving on from this promo, there's a Gun Club promo where they point out that they're undefeated in all kind of combinations. Okay.
Listen, I got sure. They're nerds. I get to give them the nerdy pew, 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 pew.
Oh, no, I don't care about that. I'm just saying, like, whatever. This isn't doing anything for me. Now, if Matt were here, he'd probably tell us how this is his favorite tag team or trio in all of AEW, more than Marco Stunt. Take it for what it is. At some point, we're going to have something happen with Paul White, right? Like, they attacked him, so they're going to have to figure out what's going on there. Anyway. Guys, shut up, because it's Jade Cargill versus Layla Hirsch next. And it was amazing to see live the discrepancy in height. It really was crazy. Because basically, like, Jade Cargill could chest bump Layla Hirsch in the forehead. And she was initially dominant, but Layla, you know, of course, is able to kind of hold her own. But we get to the end. Layla's headed up top for a moonsault. Nobody home. Jade plants her with the pump kick, picks her up. Jade with the win by a pinfall with Jaded. And that's the end of that. So Layla putting up a good showing. Now, Kate, you know, I don't know if it was because we didn't watch it on TV. I was trying not to watch the monitors as much. But I said this match could go one of two ways. It could either be really good or really bad, because this is a really green matchup. You know, live, I didn't necessarily have many issues with this. We knew Jade wasn't going to be... The first loss to Jade wasn't going to be Layla Hirsch. No offense to Layla Hirsch, but that's not going to be the first loss. So I didn't necessarily have a problem with that. Schlong, I would like to throw to you, because you're the only one who could tell us right now, did this play out really good or really bad on television?
So first of all, I want to comment that I hope somebody noticed that I muted both myself and Kate, because we're not allowed to talk during the Jade segment.
I noticed it over here.
Okay, good. Second of all, I thought it played out really well. I think the NWA Empower match against Camille really helped Layla for Jade, because she got used to going against a bigger opponent who's maybe not the best worker right now. I thought it was I think it's one of Jade's best showings, because it was a real match. There was a back and forth to it. There was a story. I knew she wasn't going to lose, but there were moments where I believed it could happen, which is all I ask from a match. So I think it actually played out to be a really fun match to watch. I think, truthfully, I mean, listen, Jade's a star. I'm not going to say Jade's not going to be a star in this division. She's already a star. But after seeing what I've seen out of Layla, from Empower to this to just everything, she's got what it takes to be like a huge babyface star. Because I can see fans just getting behind her as she comes in and just out wrestles everyone in this like rough and, you know, tumble style where she's 4'11", but she's just suplexing everyone everywhere. So I think it played really well. She from at least from what I heard on TV, got a real good reaction. I think she's, Jade's reaction.
What was she's a Jersey gal, is all I was going to say. She got a huge pop. She was from Hillsborough, which is about 10 minutes from me.
Yeah. My fear was, though, that if she couldn't get a pop in Jersey, that would have been bad. So I'm glad that like she did get the hometown pop. I actually have not fear, because it's not a bad thing. They're going to have, I think, tougher time with Jade on which direction she goes, because I think fans like her. And when you're supposed to be the big bad heel, I'm not saying right now it's bad, but I do think down the road they're going to have to figure out how to really heal her up.
Yeah, so I couldn't agree with you more. As soon as I saw legit Layla and Jade, I was like, oh, because she just put on an absolutely awesome match with Camille in NWA Empower. I was like, they saw that and they were like, copy and paste over here, please. And Camille's not my favorite in-ring worker either, so it made sense. It was like Layla knows how to make like people three times her size look really good, even when they're pretty green. So this, I thought, was not the best women's match we've ever seen, but definitely the best case scenario that I think we could have gotten. I thought it was really, really well done. Very glad to see Layla get the pop. As far as people liking Jade, I mean, they really like Britt. You know what I mean? I think if you just pair the right babyface against her, that could be a really good situation. If she and Nyla are on a collision course, it almost doesn't matter, because that's just going to be, you know, they're technically both heels or whatever. I think they should turn Nyla face because she has a very fun personality. But like, if they just tell the right stories, which they're so good at in this women's division, not really. But I think like the best example right now is look at Britt. Everybody's in love with her. And then you put her up against Ruby Soho, and boy, oh boy, wait till Rampage on Friday, because Britt's a heel. And they had an amazing segment. So they just gotta be mindful of things like that.
Yeah, I think I, like I said, I didn't have a problem with this match seeing it live. I definitely want to see it on TV because I didn't hate it live. But you know, when you see things at the television angles, it could tell a different story. I'm glad, Schlong, that you didn't, you know, see anything you necessarily hated. So I look forward to it. So that's good. We do get, and we don't have to talk at length about this because we already talked about El Idolo at length earlier. We do get the promo about how he's one step ahead and never gave Chavo, I'm sorry, never gave who, Schlong?
Oh, Chavo.
Thank you. Never gave permission to interfere with his match on Rampage, and he says that he's the kingpin and can defeat Pac or anyone whenever he wants. So if this is the new kind of, if this is the character, this kingpin character, I am all the way in. I think it's perfect for him. And after that, Kate, I'm sorry to say, this is where in the show Taz rolls up with Hook Brother and confronts CM Punk about taking his job. So we couldn't hear the chatter, but we could see everything happening. And Punk gets up from the desk to jaw with him. Hook gets between his dad and CM Punk, but then Powerhouse Will Hobbs blasts Punk from behind with a charging forearm. Punk fights back from his knees. Hook locks in the Dragon Sleeper, and then Hobbs kicks him in the ribs. Hook then tells commentary to clear out and starts pulling monitors off the table. And as Will Hobbs drags CM Punk to his feet, he choke slams him onto the announce table. He then walks over, maybe it wasn't on TV, but he did walk over to the middle of the ramp and sat down via the pipe bomb promo. And we do go to break here. It should be noted, the table did not break. So, Schlong, again, you were the only one who could hear the commentary. How did this play out?
Commentary was unimportant during this because he gets off the mic pretty quickly. So they're just kind of like yelling at each other. You can tell it's been 7 years for Punk because he didn't see the obvious ambush coming. You know, you see Hook there and you're like, where's Powerhouse Hobbs? And I also want to point out that if you're looking at the, first of all, I'm going to quote myself again because I said it on Twitter. The fact is, Hobbs is Punk's first match, TV match in 7 years. Second match overall. That says something about Hobbs, how they view him. And Hook has gear on in the Rampage picture. So looks like Hook's got some gear. It's boxing gear, which is a little unique for Hook. I didn't see that coming. But it was needed because you needed to get some heat into this more than just Taz standing up and randomly yelling like an old man. So this worked, but the commentary did nothing because almost as soon as Taz walked out, there was a little bit of back and forth, but then he threw the headphones off and it was just yelling. Kate, are you okay?
What are my thoughts?
Yes.
One thing that I really liked was that Punk was on commentary the whole night up to this. It wasn't such a softball of like, and Punk's randomly here for this match where, oh my God, chaos unfolds. Like, that was really nice. Little things like that make me happy. Punk getting thrown into a table that doesn't break is just a weird debut for Invisible Ryback, but I guess you get to do what you gotta do. Why can't anybody just throw Punk through a table, hit the table, and the table breaks? Why they gotta do this to this guy over and over again? Punk is perfect. He can do no wrong. This, I think, is everything. Like, he just wants to come in and put over young talent. Here's a stable with three young talents in it. Like, I've never given a shit about Hook. I kind of care about Hobbs. I love Ricky Starks. CM Punk's gonna make me care about all of them, and all of them could use a boost. Like, perfect use of a veteran coming in, especially as a face. Doesn't need to be near a title. Run through these guys. It's fantastic. No Brian Cage. Like, he's just not that great to me, and I don't know. I feel like he's someone, if they let their contract expire, I would be like, that's better for everyone. Like, I was kind of waiting for Brian Cage to come in and help Punk out here, maybe, to like keep that going. Maybe he's moving on to something else. I feel like Lance Archer has been lost for like a year and he's still around. So maybe there's just like a downbeat for him right now and he's moving on to something else. But Lance Archer, I love, and I feel like there's a ton of value in Brian Cage. I talked about this on Friday with Sean. Like, he was like, I can think of 15 matches of Brian Cage has had that are better than any of his best matches in AEW. So I don't know where that goes, but they had their feud, it blew off, and they're not continuing it. So, I mean, that's kind of a good thing, but yeah, let Punker run through these guys.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens when the Hook Gang gets their shots in on CM Punk. Hook
Gang, I love it.
That's it, baby. The Hook Gang.
The Hook Gang. Brother.
We get a video package after the break for Darby Allin versus Sean Spears, and that match follows. Listen, I'm going to say this after being in that crowd. I was just like, if I don't see a motherfucking coffin drop, I'm going to be so goddamn pissed off. How could they not? Darby Allin did win by pinfall with the coffin drop. There was some stuff in the middle of the match, like Spears wiped off Darby Allin's face paint. I don't know about you guys. It was quite a shock to me. I've never seen Darby Allin without face paint. So it was like seeing, a luchador without their mask on. I could never imagine what his actual flesh-colored face looked like. But that did happen during the match. Post-match, FTR attacks Darby and Sting. Tully gets in on the action as well with Sting. FTR continue to beat him down. Darby recovers, but Wheeler is able to beat him down and keep him down. And then Dax gets Sting up. FTR with the spike pile driver on Sting. He's an old man. Relax. And then Tully Blanchard,
Tully Schiavone.
Sure. Tully wipes the face paint off Sting with a wet towel. Guys, I've never seen Sting in my life with his face paint off. It was shocking. A shocking turn of events all around for the night. Listen, I thought the match was a lot of fun. Kate, I'm actually going to throw it to you first here. Live in that crowd, was that match as fun for you as it was for me?
Oh, it was a blast. Darby is so over. It's so much fun. And I loved what FTR did at the end. Matt called it next to me. I will give him credit for that. He was like, they're going to wipe Sting's face paint off. And he was excited about it because that's a great, simple storytelling device. And like kind of wipes away the commonality between him and Darby, right? Like what a fun way to just heal it up a little bit more. So this match was very fun. Sting taking that spot was nerve-wracking, but great. This was when I was like, this crowd is never just, they're not losing steam this entire experience. Like, they came unglued for everything. And like this far into it, I was very impressed that they were still getting the reactions they were, but Darby is such a special connection with the crowd for people, I think.
So I like the match from the TV perspective. You know, you have a very violent guy in Sean Spears with a guy who takes a lot of violence and Darby Allin. I think that's always a good matchup for one another. I don't get rubbing Darby's face paint off. I think the Sting face paint makes a little bit of sense because it's just disrespectful. You know, the guy's got a wet towel on his face. That's just uncomfortable. Clearly, the match was a lot of fun. Obviously, it was everything after that has importance. I love that FTR is going over as a huge heel team in this. You know, that those bastards, they got to do that to Sting. That's huge. I love the way they're using them. This is going to be a fun feud. I would think that Sting and Darby need a little help in this, so I would be curious to see who they pull in. But I liked it overall. I thought this was a great time.
Well, clearly we're going to get a continuation here of this story. It'll be interesting to see if we're actually going to get Tully face Sting here. Oh, my God.
I don't need that.
Who thought in 2021... Who thought in 2021 we'd be saying things like that? Things as crazy as that. Guys, we get a promo with the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson, cutting about how he's going after Kenny Omega. He's heard how great Omega is, and he's seen how great Omega is, but coming here, he's the best Bryan Danielson there's ever been. He's here. He's game. Let's go. Shivani's in the ring. He announces Bryan Danielson for the in-ring interview. But before, of course, he can really start answering, any questions. Don Callis enters with Kenny Omega right behind him. And what I will only say is maybe one of the greatest entrances I've ever seen Kenny Omega make. Wearing his belt, holding his t-shirt up to show the belt with his teeth. Don Callis calls Dragon a hippie millionaire and says he's listened to this all week, and Brian's sanctimonious son of a bitch. Callis runs him down for claims that he made his decision to come to AEW for the good of the wrestling business, but Kenny told him how Danielson really thinks, and that he's not a carny piece of shit, but rather just a mark like all these people. And then Danielson yells at him to shut up and says he's here to talk to Kenny. Says someday this might be about the title, but right now it's just about who's better and giving the people what they want. That's Omega versus Danielson. Callis is freaking out and says no way. And again, Bryan Danielson tells him to shut up and that he came to talk to Kenny Omega. And maybe he shouldn't have, since he came to AEW to fight the best bout machine, the god of professional wrestling. But since he's been here, all he's seen is a guy that hangs out with a bunch of goofy stooges and lets this piece of shit talk for him. More shit talk. Boy, a lot of shit in the show. He's heard Omega's lost his confidence, lost step. Doesn't think that's true. He thinks Kenny just lost his balls. So what do you say, Kenny? Yes or no? Omega asks him if he wants the best bout machine. And he says the answer is yes. So next week, we will get Kenny by God Omega versus the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson. My goodness gracious. Kate, I'm going to go to you again first here because we were there live in the crowd, but this was a promo we could definitely hear. People wanted to hear what was being said. I thought this was awesome, and I honestly did not think we were going to get this match this early. It's not a title match, but it doesn't need to be. But, man, amazing.
I mean, this is the first of many literal dream matches, right? Like, if you're erasing anyone signed anywhere, like just wrestlers that are around right now, you pair these two up at some point, I think. This was fantastic. My favorite thing is that it's a non-title match. It's so smart. I was like, how are they going to have Daniel Bryan debut against him and who? Have Hangman win the title? I'm sorry, Bryan Danielson.
Thank you.
Debut against him because it seemed like it was heading that way, but have Hangman win. Doesn't have to be a title match, but the beautiful thing about that is I assumed it was a title match because they defend their titles so fucking often. It's refreshing that I didn't think of that immediately. I also, you mentioned Omega coming out in his gear. Him just coming out in the same white t-shirt that Daniel Bryan had was fantastic. Like, just a plain white t-shirt is so great. So much fun. But I loved Daniel Bryan saying all of the swear words and balls, first of all, but he also, Bryan Danielson, I'm just going to call the American Dragon, the American Dragon Yielson. I loved that he said, someday this is going to be about the title, but today, or like next week, this is going to just be about who's the best in the world. I loved that he said that because it's like, I understand that this is the most important thing in the promotion. I'm not an idiot and I'm going to go get it someday. But right now, that's not what this is. That's not why I showed up here. Loved, loved, loved that line from him. And I definitely have to go back because I could hear some stuff, but not all of it.
So I really liked this. I'm a big fan of this version of Dragon Americanson. You know, he's doing great. By the way, I think Plain White Tees, what a name for a band. Just going to throw that out there.
There you go.
But that was a really good, he's got a lot of fire in these promos, which I like. He's not happy to be there. He's there to kick somebody's ass, which I really like because you need that. Punk's happy to be there right now. Cole's an asshole heel and American Dragon is there just to kill someone. I love it. It works. He's earned that ability to do that. I like that it's not for a title because it kind of does bring some mystery to the match. I don't know what they have planned. Are they going to, you know, are they going to actually give him the win there? Is he not? My prediction is he loses somehow, and that's when Hangman comes out to get a huge pop at the end of Arthur Ashe. That's just me. That's just my feeling on it. But I would say lose by cheating. I don't think he loses in a clean finish. I think it's going to be something. Maybe Kenny gets on the mic saying, I'm the best in the world. There's no one I'm afraid of. And then you know, the Cowboy song hits. But that could also just be me really hoping for that because that'd be fucking amazing. But I really like it. I mean, I think, listen, there's nothing you can complain about this. You got Kenny Omega, who's doing the best work he's done in AEW and probably some of the best work of his entire career versus Daniel Bryanson. Jesus Christ.
American Dragon Nielsen.
American Dragon Nielsen, who's just phenomenal and doing, looks great and sounds great. This is going to be awesome. I'm so excited for it. And I get to see it.
Yeah. Yeah, we do.
Kate, a couple people, I saw you flash the comments up if we want to give credit. A couple people were saying, is that Redlin? Sorry, it's Redden. Very small on my screen. Eric Redden says, I have a hard time imagining either guy losing this match. I feel like we might see a time limit draw. And then who said the same thing, essentially?
Mike Peterson. Mike
Peterson. I wouldn't hate it. honestly, I wouldn't hate it. I don't think it needs to happen, but I wouldn't hate it. There have been a couple matches in AEW where, like, we only saw one time limit draw, and it was early on, right? Darby. Wasn't it Cody and Darby? That's right. So I wouldn't hate seeing it because they don't pull that card out all the time. But do they necessarily need to do that? No, because they can protect a loss either way, right? And they always do pretty good jobs of defending, protecting the losses, excuse me. So, guys, I'm just super pumped that this is a dream match that we're going to get to see live together.
Yeah. Just absolutely crazy. I think somehow Hangman gets set up here. I don't know if he interferes because they don't do goofy shit that often, but I would be surprised if the go away thing wasn't Hangman standing there at the end of the night, looking at Kenny Omega or looking at Adam Cole, because Adam Cole's like, you gotta go through me if you're gonna work your way back up here. I think that could be absolute gangbusters on the way to Full Gear.
Well, I don't disagree. No, I'm starting to get sick. Baby A got me sick. I don't disagree with you. 1 week to get
better.
Oh, I'll be fine. I've already given my plan of what I'm going to do over the next week. No, I don't disagree with you, Kate. I think it's a good place for Hangman to come out, because clearly this is going to be the main event. Like, this is the main event of the night. You know, whether it's, Danielson's about to win, whether it's a submission and Kenny's about to tap, and then maybe the Elite, jumps Danielson and it's a disqualification win, and then Hangman makes a save, lights go out, Hangman's in the ring or something like that, I think that's on the table. I'm ready for Hangman to come back and to kind of pick this story back up with Kenny heading into Full Gear, and I think this is the time to do it. And then, fucking let's go with whoever we want to go with, and Hangman Adam Page. Do we want to have Danielson go at Page? Do we want to have Christian Cage go at Page? Do we want to have Punk go at Cage? Do we want to have Ricky Starks? Whoever. It doesn't matter, because I think Hangman can work anybody in this company. Yeah. And it'll be fucking awesome. So that's my little spiel. But we go to commercial, we come back. Matt Hardy is ranting about, he's sick and tired of Orange Cassidy's antics. He's going to shave his head. Okay. No offense, guys. That doesn't really do anything for me. And I'm a fan of Orange Cassidy. And he's had some goofy ass matches. And
he's from Newark, so he's from Newark, so they put him on the show. That's what this was. And whatever indie guy that got his hair shaved looked a lot like Drew Cordero from Beyond Wrestling, if you're any of you are into the nerdiness. We were like, is that Drew Cordero? It wasn't, but it looked a lot like him.
That might happen on Friday night, Kate.
Maybe that happened. That was a joke.
It's not really a spoiler. I don't think anyone's shocked by that.
Anyway.
We were doing so good.
I was doing fine. I still am doing fine. Look, Kate, somebody's
way out of focus.
Yeah, somebody's unfocused. Kate, it wasn't me. I can mute you. I can't do that to your camera.
What the what? Hello?
Go into your camera settings. Reset the... there you go.
There you go. So guys, they hype up the card for next week. We'll talk about those in a second. We'll recap those. Let's finish up the show. 2.0, Jeff Parker and Matt Lee with Daniel Garcia in tow versus Eddie Kingston and John Moxley. Wild Thing was so awesome live. The crowd was into it. Kate, there were a couple people on the floor. I was like, I think we have to worry about these guys. It looked like they just wanted to jump on Moxley so bad. But what an entrance through the crowd. It looked great. Listen, this match was a lot of fun. Eddie Kingston and John Moxley win by pinfall with that half Nelson suplex lariat combo on Jeff Parker. And guess what, folks? Minoru Suzuki is here. He makes the entrance casually with the evil grin on his face, poking up poking at his eyelids as he comes towards the ring. And Kaze Ninare plays out to a huge pop. Lance Archer is there with him. And then all four men brawl. Moxley gets smashes Suzuki's face into the timekeeper's table. They get set up on it. They brawl on top of the table. Minoru tries to do the gotch pile driver, but Mox gets him in the injured eye with the microphone. Mox is choking Suzuki out, drags him to the crowd. They keep brawling, and it goes off air. Now, Schlong, just so you know, live there, they continue to brawl for quite some time. You know, Eddie and Lance over in one section, you know, John Moxley and Suzuki kind of in another area. And then eventually everybody gets in the ring, and Kingston and Moxley get laid out, and they basically lay the gauntlet down to have this tag team match. So with Moxley and Archer laid out, right, Kate? That's how it kind of ends there live for us before they start doing Rampage.
Yeah, they went for like a while after camera cut away too. They were brawling in the crowd for like an extra 5-10 minutes. It was a decent amount, which was cool because it was transitioning them into getting set up for Rampage and stuff. But that, I mean, I was sitting next to a huge New Japan mark. I'm somewhat of a New Japan mark, but sitting next to Matt to see Suzuki come out was so much fun. He's the most fun person to go to a show with ever. And to set up this match is so cool and so special and fun. And yeah, I noticed you said that you were like, saw people, like, I feel like I saw Eddie Kingston change routes to get to the ring, because fans were just like blocking him from being able to get anywhere. It was so funny and so like actually really fun. But I was like, damn, Newark's gonna Newark. Like, wouldn't let him through. But this made me really happy because I want to see Lance Archer on my screen more. This isn't a long program, obviously, but it's a very like good spot for him to be in. So I will absolutely take it. This is gonna be so much fun. And it was at this point in the night that I was like, I just saw Sting and Suzuki and Malachi Black. Like, it's overwhelming, the amount of eras, ring styles, and I don't, like, from very green to literal legends you get in 1-2 hour period. Like, I was very pleasantly overwhelmed about that in this moment. That's where I kind of had that realization. So just a very, very cool experience.
So I enjoyed it, but before I continue, I have to highlight a couple comments here because they're fun. Joe saying, book a Kiss My Foot match, you coward, to Matt Hardy. I think only because it reminds me of that terrible Bret Hart, Jerry Lawler one. And then Joe said, delete Hardy's hair. And Mike Peterson, which is my favorite pun of the night, Dillette, as in Gillette, but Dillette. I love it. I had to appreciate it.
We have fun. So we have fun in the comments, damn it.
Yeah. So that was a fun match. 2.0 is amazing. In a matter of a month, they're just become stars in the company when they were doing nothing on NXT. It's just amazing. Their personality is great. They put on good matches. Renee Tex tweeted out during the match, I wish my husband would stop biting people's heads. so I thought that was really funny. I was wondering what happened when it went off air, because I do think in my head it'd be really funny if, like, you see the camera light go out and they just stop. And, like, shake hands and walk away. But no, that's actually a real good way to distract things while you switch up sets. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. I'm excited for that tag match.
I have to tell you something, Schlong. They weren't striking the set and changing the ring canvas or anything like that while they battled outside the ring. They waited till it was all done to reset the ring.
I would have been doing that during that. I guess they couldn't be sure that they wouldn't come back.
They always seem to do like what can we make go viral after the show thing, though, which I really like the go home speech or whatever. Like, there's a moment that's just for the live crowd that's cool, and that was ours, which was really neat.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. It was a good show, and we've mentioned it a few times. Kind of coming up here on AEW television this Friday night, we'll have the Lucha on Rampage, the Lucha Brothers versus the Butcher and the Blade, for the AEW tag team titles. Anna Jay will face the Bunny in a singles match. And then Miro will face Fuego del Sol in a match where the TNT championship will be on the line versus Fuego del Sol's car. I believe it is a Hyundai Elantra. It was not an SUV. It was some sort of sedan. Guys,
he's got kids. The car with sedan.
Listen, that car's for daddy, not the kids. Guys, what's been announced so far for next week is absolutely insane. The September 22nd Dynamite. The Grand Slam Dynamite from Arthur Ashe Stadium in Flushing will have Kenny Omega versus Bryan Danielson in a non-title match. Dr. Britt Baker will defend her championship against Ruby Soho. Cody Rhodes is going to fight Malakai Black. FTR versus Darby Allin and Sting. Tully Blanchard, kind of led that assault. So this match will happen on Dynamite. MJF is going to fight Brian Pillman Jr. CM Punk is going to be interviewed about his first television match in 7 years coming up on the Grand Slam Rampage. And on the Grand Slam Rampage, which will be 2 hours, by the way, will be CM Punk versus Powerhouse Hobbs with Hook. The Young Bucks and Adam Cole, the Super Click, will face Christian Cage and Jurassic Express. And then Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky with Dan Lambert will fight Chris Jericho and Jake Hager. Don't know about what else is going to be up on that Friday Rampage, but they're going to have to fill in 2 hours with something. So we'll have to see. Guys, that's going to be an incredible night of wrestling.
It's a pay-per-view. It's just a pay-per-view that they put on free TV. It's absolutely insane. To turn around and give you that card like a month after they gave you All Out is... But I guess like you have the debuts, right? So now it's like, well, let's give you something insane with the people that debuted. Like, how much fun? It's going to be great.
Well, we will be there live and in person, all of us, next week. Kate, Schlong, me, Millionaire Matt, and some others. The doctor will be in tow with us. So if you're going to be there, definitely reach out to us and let us know. And maybe we could say hello to some of your beautiful faces in Flushing, Queens. Asian Joe, the Arthur Ashe show is basically like a Crown Jewel show, minus the blood money. Very good point. Although it is Flushing, Queens. They might have had to pay off some sort of Goomba, mafia boss to be able to get this show in.
That's a very good point, and I'm just really excited to finally see Goldberg in an AEW ring like we've all been wanting. So
we've been clamoring for it. So, guys, a couple news and notes to end on before we wrap it up at a somewhat normal hour. Mr. Wyndham Rotunda has been dropping some hints on social media about what's next for him, or kind of like what we're going to see out of him next. He's been hinting that we'll see him again and, like not really giving any key indicators on what his character is, but that it's going to be, I guess, a little bit different. In some responses, he's written things like, "Everything will be clear. I'll see you all very soon. Revenge is a confession of pain." At one point, someone also kind of tagged him in, you know, something with a gif of him and the Firefly Funhouse, saying how they're excited to see him very soon. It feels like it's been so long. And his response was, "You've never seen the real me." It'll be interesting to see what's going to happen. But he's been a little more kind of vocal on social media lately. You know, so maybe he's going to show up somewhere at some point. Now, Kate or Ryan, do you guys know when his non-compete is actually up? Like, I don't think he's going to show up next week. I think it's still too early. I don't think his no-compete is up within the next week.
The last batch of layoffs was the NXT rounds, and this was before that. So he should be, I think, good to go. I'm pretty sure. We've got a comment here that would be amazing. Mike Peterson saying hopes he shows up in Boston, which is the Wednesday before Halloween. That would be really fun. I personally don't need him in AEW, but they use people really well. I think he could do tremendous things for Impact, and Impact needs to invest in their own talent. But I think he is free and clear.
No, it's not till October, technically.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'm a liar and I know nothing.
Based on the Googling, but they let people go. Quicker than that, you know, how many times have they let guys out of their non-compete?
Yeah, but they're not going to let him out of the non-compete. There's no way, because people were really upset he was fired. really upset.
Actually,
looking at Body Slam, it's the end of October.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I did a quick Google too on my end as we were talking. And from what I see, it says Bray Wyatt's 90-day non-compete clause should be up towards the end of October.
My God.
Around Halloween. So,
because 90 days.
Mike. Yeah. Mike, you might get lucky here, buddy. And that would be a good place for him to show up. Right before Halloween. That would be really cool. That would be good. So, that'd be rad. Keep your eyes peeled. Some news coming up on Rotunda. The other thing of note is that Jon Moxley is off New Japan's upcoming Battle in the Valley show, and that is due to the fact that they've changed the full gear date because they did not want to compete with the Canelo Alvarez Caleb Plant fight, as well as I guess the UFC card at Madison Square Garden on November 6th. Full Gear will now be taking place on November 13th. It might throw kind of a monkey wrench in some plans. It certainly did mix up Moxley's appearance in New Japan. But I guess that's good news. He'll be appearing on Full Gear in some capacity.
Forbidden Doors. Complicated schedules, you know what I mean?
Hey, you got to be flexible to get through that door.
You want Bray Wyatt to show up at that because your birthday is a few days after that show. Is your birthday on Halloween itself? Let us know.
That'd be badass. And guys, just a final kind of a final piece of news that I saw this week. Adam Cole was definitely a debut. Thank you. Was a big surprise debut at the All Out pay-per-view. And he did an interview with Sports Illustrated where he explained how the secret was protected. Just a piece of the article. "I didn't even fly into Chicago. I flew into a different city the day before." He noted that he was thrilled to wear his mask to help hide his appearance on the flight. Quote, "I didn't even stay in the same hotel as Brian. We showed up to the building while the show was going on, and we waited outside in a trailer. The locker room didn't even know until the absolute last moment. It was the most secretive debut I've ever been involved in, and Tony Khan took every measure to make this as big of a surprise as possible." It also should be noted that it sounds like he didn't actually make the decision to join AEW until almost the last second. The article also says my actual decision was literally only a couple of days before the pay-per-view. I was awake in bed. It was close to 1 a.m. and I was imagining being involved in AEW. That thought gave me such an excited feeling. I was so giddy. I couldn't even sleep. I love the idea of coming to All Elite Wrestling. And that's what I knew I needed. That's what I knew I needed to do. So pretty cool little tidbits from Adam Cole in his interview with Sports Illustrated. I'm sure there's more there if you want to look it up, but man, sounds like TK, when he wants to keep it a secret, it will be a secret, and he'll go to any length to keep it that way. So guys, that's it, man. We're done. We are finished. We are going home, and I'm going to go to bed. Kate, any final comments we need to call up from anybody here?
Let's take a look. Oh, Asian Joe wishing Mike a month and a half early happy birthday. He's such a good dude, that Asian Joe. He also did point out that as his non-compete over October 29th, people were wondering if he'd show up for full gear, because that's right after. Man, oh man. It's getting interesting out there. We'll see.
Could be.
I don't know if Cast at Body Slam had it. If Ryan was looking that up, that's accurate information. He's a very credible reporter. So, I'm not sure.
And owed about how much money is he owed from Jay Briscoe?
At least $20.
Man, that's some heavy duty scratch.
That is, or a T-shirt. That's all he wanted.
Hey, Kate actually reminded me too, and it goes hand in hand with AEW because Jericho does all the narration. The restart of season 3 of Dark Side of the Ring was tonight, so I have something to look forward to watching on DVR. Since I was here tonight with y'all, but I wouldn't be anywhere else. Tonight was the plane ride from hell, and from what I guess some of us are seeing, it sounds like it's a doozy. So be sure to check it out.
Definitely check it out. It's the plane ride from hell episode. And I got a lot of texts and Twitter exploded about it. So we won't go too far into it because we haven't seen it. But yeah, I'm with you.
No, don't need to go into it. But from what I've kind of seen, it's one of those stories that's for a long time. It's just been a lot of rumors and stuff. And there haven't been a whole lot of like sit downs about it. So this is probably one of the first at length interviews about this topic.
Man, they do a really good job on the show, so I'm sure it'll be gangbusters.
For sure. All right, Kate, anything to plug?
Oh goodness, sure. What's today? Thursday? Tomorrow I have the SmackDown and Rampage post show with Sean Ross Sapp on Fightful. And swinging into next week, I will be on the NXT post show as Alex Pulowski and I continue to lose our minds on Sour Graps immediately following NXT 2.0. Oh, God, I don't know what I'm going to wear this week because it's just getting so bad over there. But then we're off again next week. I'll let Ant take the programming note, but you can also follow me at Kate on Deck IC on Twitter. I'm putting little graphics up about where I am, so you can follow me there.
I give you credit, Kate, because I would commit suicide if I had to sit and watch NXT 2.0.
It's bad.
Fucking awful. I was telling somebody last night, I happened to be flipping through the channels and I forgot that wrestling was on, and I haven't watched any WWE or NXT product. It has to be over a year now. And I was flipping through and that was on. And I happened to catch Braun Breaker.
Yeah. Which is a Steiner kid. Yeah. They took Steiner's last name away from him. Don't know why.
I can't even tell. Kate, I give you a ton of credit to suffer through that bullshit.
Only with Alex Pulowski could I do it.
Yeah, Mike Peterson says you're losing. NXT is making you lose your mind, and he's here for the ride.
Did I ever have my mind? Valid question. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. I mean,
no, I mean, the whole rocker gimmick of the show is that we were losing our minds at this point. So it's just sad because Alex was losing his mind anyway, and then I was brought in to lighten things up, and now we've just both clearly lost it. So yeah, that was a rough, because NXT 2.0 is now just Raw. It's just Raw. So that is tough. SmackDown at least makes sense, and we get to talk about Rampage, but that was not great.
Well, but you know where you can catch Kate. And now for us next week, again, we've mentioned it so many times tonight. We are going to be at AEW Dynamite for the second week in a row, this time all of us. So even Schlong can't play Sad Sack this week, even though he wants everybody to think he wasn't invited or something like that this week. We all told him to come, and he refused to. So this week, next week, there's no excuse. We'll all be at Arthur Ashe on Wednesday, so there will not be a Wednesday night post-Dynamite Mark Order podcast. You can catch us, I guess, guys, the same schedule, right? Next Thursday, 9 o'clock. This was pretty good. Next Thursday, 9 o'clock Eastern, we'll do our kind of follow-up. We'll get Schlong's take on his first AEW live experience. And we'll kind of give you some inside scoop on how the event went on the inside. What else? Let's see. Oh yeah, guys, we have stickers, so we should probably start giving some of those away. I got to Newark too late last night to like hand any stickers out. We'll have stickers with us at Arthur Ashe. So if you're going to be at Arthur Ashe, hit us up, let us know. We'll keep you guys posted on social where we're going to be. Pretty sure we're going to be in the parking lots, tailgating, you know, having some subs, some drinks, hanging out early. We'll be hanging out. Come say hi. Let us know where you are. We'll have stickers with us there. But if you're not going to be at Arthur Ashe and you're not going to be anywhere we are, you should hit us up on Twitter. DM us. I'll respond. I'll get your information. Let me know, you know, where I can send some stickers to, and I'll take care of the rest. I'll send out a nice little envelope with a few stickers in it, and you can help us spread the word. DM us on Twitter, even Instagram. Send us a message on Facebook. You can find us on all forms of social media at Mark Order Pod. We have the video up now on Facebook every week. And now YouTube. So now we're connected to our YouTube, thankfully. So these videos will continue to live on. You can come back and watch them. If you're listening in podcast form, that's fantastic. We love that. But it's a whole different thing to watch us do this live, because
you get to see my beauty.
Yep.
You do get to see Ryan's beauty. You get to see his Pepe.
His Pepe, but not his.
Yeah.
That's not a slang for anything.
His tiny Pepe.
Pepe is tiny.
Tiny Pepe.
Hey, when Matt's here, you get to see Matt lose his ever-loving mind, which is just fun.
Yeah, and I don't know if we're going to have Matt with us next week or if his schedule is thrown off again. Come check us out again next Wednesday. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for the support. Thanks for the support you're giving Kate and all of her endeavors. If you want to follow Kate, she mentioned it at Kate on Deck IC. Ryan Schlong doesn't do anything on his own personal one, but he's in control of a lot of what we do on Twitter. So Ryan Schlong likes to spread the love. Just watch out when he starts to spread it.
Ryan Schlong loves everything. Just accept it.
Yeah, I'm just saying, watch out when you decide to spread the love, because there's a lot of it.
The Schlong love.
I mean, a lot of it. Like an obscene, sticky amount.
Good night, everyone. It was great.
You can follow me. Jesus Christ, I'd like to plug myself. You can follow me at AntMoney247. On Instagram at Ant Money, on Twitter, because I was cool enough to be in early. And, you know, again, thanks everybody for the support. We'll be back next Thursday with a special episode of the Mark Order podcast. We appreciate you guys. Have a good week. I don't have Matt's little outro, Kate. You want to do your best Kenny Omega impression?
Goodbye and good night.